for the second straight year. Some of the best Division III lacrosse talent has come to Maryland to face off. Lynchburg, Cabrini, Cortland, Nazareth, Dickinson, and Stevenson all meet for the midseason classic of lacrosse. Now, live from Mustang Stadium in Owings Mills, Maryland, this is the Green Turtle Classic on the Mustang Sports Network, powered by SFMSports.net.
And greetings again from Owings Mills, Mustang Stadium on the campus of Stevenson University. This is the Green Turtle Classic with SFMSports.net. Glenn Clark alongside Christian Payne for game number two as the number 11 Lynchburg Hornets take on the number 7th ranked SUNY Cortland Dragons here at Mustang Stadium. And we had a good win in our first game, expecting a good one again here in game number two. Two teams who come in fairly evenly matched up. Lynchburg 3-2 on the year. Cortland 2-2 on the season. Both teams very capable offensively, and we should have a good one on our hands. Christian, let's take a look at how these teams got here today, and we'll start with the Lynchburg Hornets, who are in effect your road team in this one. They'll be in the black tops and black shorts when we get this one going. 3-2 on the season. They avoided a three-game losing streak when they beat Guilford 13-4 on the road Saturday. Before that, they had lost back-to-back games, 15-13 at Endicott on March 10th and 7-6 at Gettysburg on March 8th. They had started the season 2-0 by picking up a big 12-7 win against Salisbury to open the season on Valentine's Day. They had also beaten Cabrini 10-9 on March 1st. Again, two very good teams there, Salisbury and Cabrini, that Lynchburg already has wins over this season. For the Dragons, 2-2. They've alternated wins and losses in their first four games, 14-13 loss at Union of New York to open the season on February 28th, and they picked up a 10-6 win against Albright on March 4th. Then that always tricky trip to face RIT in the Carrier Dome, it turned out to be a 12-11 loss for the Dragons on March 11th. And then just this past Saturday, they picked up an 11-9 win at Western New England. That's how they got to this point. Some history between these two teams in the Mustang Classic. Last year, they got together right here at Stevenson, and it was Lynchburg who came away with a 10-9 win. You'd imagine, perhaps, that revenge would be on the mind of the Cortland Red Dragons.
Certainly would be. These are two top-notch Division III lacrosse programs. There's going to be a lot of red and white and a lot of fantastic goal scoring out on this field today. Lynchburg comes in with a great outlook. Like you said, a fantastic win to start out the year early on against Salisbury. That's always a great rivalry to look to, as is this one. And then over on the other side for Cortland, one of those teams that you can expect to be in the national championship discussion each year, moves in with a lot of great players in the senior class, especially coming up in this matchup. If the first game was any indication of what we're just going to see here, matchup number two, we're getting ready for some great lacrosse action here for game number two in the 2015 Green Turtle Classic.
Cool to see some of the friends, family, and fans of our first couple of teams stick around for this one, and I think that's the cool thing about this event, that you're in town, you're here, you got the opportunity to see some good lacrosse, some people that maybe aren't fans of any of these teams that just came over and said, hey, wow, six top teams playing on a very nice sunny day here in Owings Mills. I'm going to go over and check that out. We're seeing less and less of the snow that was lingering from yesterday managed to hold on, still a little bit off to the hills to our right. All right, tale of the tape. A couple of teams that come in, as we mentioned, fairly similar records. Cortland 2-2, Lynchburg 3-2 on the season. A couple of things that jump out. Scoring-wise, fairly even. Cortland scored 11.3 goals per game. For Lynchburg, they've scored 10.8 goals per game. Shots also very similar. 36.5 for Cortland, 38.2 per game for Lynchburg. Ground balls, very even. 34.8 for Cortland, 35.4 for Lynchburg. Face-offs, very even. Cortland has won 67% of their faceoffs, 63.1 for Lynchburg. Turnovers, 20.8 for Cortland, 17.8 for Lynchburg. And in the man-up opportunities, both teams have struggled this season. 21.4% converted for Cortland, 23.5% converted for Lynchburg. One big difference there, as you see, and again, the numbers are smaller. The opponents, Cortland has allowed goals 44% of the man-down opportunities, right, whereas on the flip side,
goals have been scored against the man-down unit for Lynchburg only 15.4% of the time. So that's one area that sticks out when it comes to the tail of the tape.
Two teams you really expect to great have offensive performances, but today I really think it's the defense that's going to be key on both sides. And Glenn, here we're skirting towards the mid-season point. You look to face-offs. You look to both guys as go-to guys into the mix, and really just pretty even across the board. You know, 63% as opposed to 67% for Cortland. Turnovers not too bad on the other side, but that man up, really, that's going to make the difference today. As we saw, a lot of penalties in the first game. If we see those again here in the second, really could be a key component to this matchup. You know, Lynchburg comes in with plenty of confidence, as you said, 2-0 in last year's Mustang Classic. Always love watching the highlights of those games as they narrowly edged over Cortland last year here at Mustang Stadium. A team that comes in with plenty of confidence, and then Cortland really moving in. Fantastic play across the board for the Red Dragons.
A couple of guys that jump out for these teams as we are seeing the starting lineups introduced to the crowd here at Mustang Stadium. So let's go over the lineups right now. And for Lynchburg up top, Austin Stewart, the 5'11 junior from Reisterstown, Maryland, just down the road. I mean, this is essentially a homecoming for him by way of Loyola Blakefield. 21 goals already on his junior campaign for the Hornets in just five games. He also has an assist, so 22 points already on the year. He's also scooped up 9 ground balls. Joining him on the attack, Aaron Murphy, the junior from Downington, Pennsylvania. He already has 12 goals and 5 assists in 5 games so far for Lynchburg. Todd Galvin is the other member of the starting attack for Lynchburg. In the midfield, Chris Hauer, Bobby Disler, and Cole Barrett. On the back end, in defense, Eric Lombardo, Hunter Thompson, and Evan Leader. And in goal for Lynchburg today, Chris Howley. In 5 games, he's allowed 37 goals. That's an average of 8.13 goals per game. He has made 51 saves, stopping 58% of the shots that he's faced. He's also scooped up 14 ground balls. On the flip side, for the Red Dragons today of Cortland, Zach Hopps up top. He's got the hops. 5'9 junior from Aquisane, New York. 10 goals and 9 assists for 19 points already in just 4 games on the season. He's the reigning Sunyak Player of the Week after he scored 4 goals and had 6 assists in 2 games last week for Cortland. Joining him up top, Benjamin Dunleavy and James Stavrakis. Also in the midfield, Mike Cantelli, Matt Ricozzi, as well as Patrick Brown. And in the defense, David Foster, Joe Brand, and Ryan Scarano. In goal for Cortland, number 25, Scott Toda, the 5'8 senior from Webster, New York. In 4 games, he's allowed 41 goals, 10.25 goals against average. He's made 43 saves, stopping 51.2% of the shots he's faced, and he has scooped up 10 ground balls. We're about ready to go between the Hornets of Lynchburg and the Red Dragons of Cortland. Beautiful day here at Mustang Stadium. Starting out at the X as expected for Lynchburg, you see in the black tops and black shorts, number 22, Bobby Disler. He has won 50 of 76 faceoffs this season. Pat Baldwin for Cortland, 62 of 91 faceoffs on the year, 68.1%. Both of these guys willing to take the ball in after they pick it up. We are underway, and this will start with Cortland winning possession for the first time today, and they will move from right to left. However, they tried to give it away very quickly, and indeed they will. This will go right back to Lynchburg, who will be moving from left to right on your internet dial. Happy to have you with us here today in Owings Mills.
Early turnover, a fantastic opening faceoff, though. Just couldn't hang on to it. Pat Baldwin for Corlin with a good little pinch and pop. And there's another turnover.
Right,
so two
back.
Quick ones here, Glenn. And definitely have those jitters here to start out a big game on a big stage.
No, this is a big opportunity for both teams, obviously, as this entire event is a big opportunity for all parties involved. And you see early on, we saw a lot of turnovers in the first game between Nazareth and Dickinson, especially on the Dickinson side of things in the first quarter. A lot of jitters, and we're seeing some early jitters in this one. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the first game, as Ethan Prenti drives it in here for Cortland, you certainly would imagine that the change in schedule, these teams expected to play yesterday. Because of snow in the Baltimore area, the field was not in great condition. They decided to push the event back to a Saturday-Sunday event, and athletes are well-conditioned. They have expectations, and they prepare for that. When those plans sort of have a wrench thrown at them, it's interesting to see how they respond emotionally. First shot of the game, well wide off the stick of Stavrakis, not really threatening whatsoever to Chris Howley, backed up by Cortland.
Not the best look, though, but Halley all over it. Well backed up, so on the same page as Cortland offense looking for goal number one.
Opportunity in front of the cage, and the first save of the game comes for Chris Halley. Good job getting a stick on that one. Not able to catch it, but does a good job of taking that shot and keeping it out of the goal and keeping it a scoreless game. And we'll set up going the other way for Lynchburg. That shot came off the stick of Benjamin Dunleavy for Cortland. Lynchburg, the Hornets, setting up offensively for the first time today. They touched the ball once before, but a quick turnover did not allow them to set up in their attack again. Stars of the show, Austin Stewart and Aaron Murphy, they've combined for 33 goals in just five games this season. We're nearly 2 minutes into the first quarter. Scoreless game. This is the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net. On the run, looking for an angle and ultimately giving it off was Dan Angel. And he brought it all the way back up top. That's where Austin Stewart goes to work, arriving to his right. He faked the shot, two defenders waiting for it, so he tries to shovel it off to Galvin. Galvin had to go scoop it up. Ball back on the ground. And possession held onto by Lynchburg.
Fantastic short stick defense from McNanny. Here he goes for another matchup, trying to push against Dan Angel.
Dan Angel, the 5'11 junior from Raleigh, North Carolina. And now it comes all the way back around the goal. Colin McGuire had a look before he gives it off. And now going to work, Aaron Murphy. 12 goals, 5 assists on the season. And I guess that was a shot. Attempt, anyway, from Austin Stewart. And a fortunate bounce gives it back to Murphy, who takes it all the way in himself. He shovels the ball towards the goal. Nothing doing. Colin McGuire there to back it up, however, for Lynchburg. And the Hornets will maintain possession.
Murphy pushing the issue very early on. Like that move, just didn't quite have the best angle there, but still a good shot to open this up for Lynchburg.
Nothing that has really threatened Tota yet. That ball on the bounce. Not really threatening either off the stick of Chris Cornelius. They're getting shots away. They're just not getting anything that's particularly on goal just yet. Over a minute on this possession now for Lynchburg. We've seen aggression. We just haven't seen good looks necessarily. Ty Galvin now working up top, going to his left. He fires low, went high to low. That one goes out wide, and we're going to see a penalty flag down. And it looks like a man-up opportunity coming for Lynchburg.
Patrick Brown in the coverage. Looks like he's going to get tagged for the foul on the late hit. Coming in there on the slide.
Just 4 of 17 on the man-up this season are the Hornets. 23.5% conversion rate. Big opportunity here to establish an early lead in this one as they'll be on a one-minute man-up. And they're going to just toss it around right now to set up the offense. Right now looking to see if you can catch someone. Fail to slide. Typical way to start out a man-up opportunity. Invert.
Bump to the crease.
He's going to come back around for a wrap shot, and that's a funky bounce. I have absolutely no idea how that got through. There might have been some contact on it. Either way, it's Austin Stewart's first goal of the day, his 22nd goal of the year, and it's a 1-0 game in favor of Lynchburg.
Stewart with some good fortune. St. Patrick's Day this week, maybe a little of that luck extending to the weekend, but talk about that goal. Just a little ricochet rocket. Off the bounce there into the back of the net. Look at that bouncer. It's a beauty.
Maybe a better angle than you can see from up top here at Mustang Stadium, but I didn't think that one was on cage when it came off of his stick. Indeed, it does find the back of the net. It is a 1-0 game with 11:18 to play here in the first quarter. Good job done offensively on the man up. They have struggled this season. Did not struggle on that possession whatsoever.
Great shot by Stewart.
Chris Cornelius gets credited with the assist. That's his third assist of the season. He now has 6 points on his 2015 campaign. Ball still on the ground here, and it's going to be Lynchburg once again who comes away with an opportunity unsettled and just couldn't quite get that one on cage. Could Aaron Murphy, Todd Galvin there to back it up, however, and it stays with the Hornets.
My goodness, Murphy wants that one back. That's his favorite spot on the lacrosse field.
No doubt.
We'll shake it off, though.
Yeah, he had a good look. I mean, he had the space to work with. It certainly was unsettled. He just did not get it on the cage. This team not afraid to fire shots. On the run right now, working to his right and sending it back into the words of the middle of the field. But that ball knocked down. It was Daniel Owens who was on the run, but good job done by Tota to knock it down, and we will head the other way. An opportunity to clear here for the Red Dragons. First opportunity to see some pressure on the ride from Lynchburg. clears this season 4, and this is a big... Somehow, it did look as though he crossed the midfield. I have no idea. Yeah, it'll end up staying with Lynchburg. Funny thing enough for the Dragons, they've been very good on the clears this year. 65 of 79, make it 65 of 80 now as they failed there. Going to be another flag as this time down. It was Todd Galvin who was trying to go in on Cage for Lynchburg. Way too much contact there. And once again, the Hornets are going to be on the man up.
Sweet play by Galvin there. It was a slow break situation. You don't know if he's going to go to the goal, so he makes that great hitch step, totally freezes his defender, enables a couple guys moving in on the slide to lose their footing, push him to the turf. First man up here for Lynchburg.
You saw it was Scorano defensively who ended up hooking after he was beat by Galvin. You keep the goal off the board, at least for now, but you put your team in a difficult spot for 60 seconds. As Scorano will be sent off. 10:14 to play here in quarter number one. It's a 1-0 game, and Lynchburg has an opportunity to extend that lead very early on. Todd Galvin sends it back up top. The Hornets content to toss it around right now. Working at the top of the offense is Chris Cornelius. He's making the calls, it looks like, right now. And finally, we're going to see them run a play here. Cornelius will bring it back, and that shot will be blocked down. Came off the stick of Austin Stewart, backed up by Aaron Murphy.
Murphy Stewart with the goal here for Lynchburg, looking for goal number 2.
Comes all the way back out to Cornelius. Cornelius slides it over to Galvin. Galvin will give it back to Cornelius. And again, just tossing the ball around right now. Still about 30 seconds on the man up for Lynchburg. And a shot from distance from Cornelius. It gets through. There were a lot of bodies between him and the cage. Somehow it got through, but didn't get through on goal. Backed up again by the Hornets. Still
Toto
23
facing,
seconds.
Yeah, flurry of shots here for Toto. He's hanging pretty tight so far.
Again, comes around behind the goal. Aaron Murphy will give it back up top. Cornelius that time, low to low, buries it to his left in the lower corner, and it is now a 2-0 game in favor of Lynchburg.
Cornelius had the first one just to kind of test the waters. That time he made no mistake about it. Check it out. Fantastic recognition on the feed, too. Cornelius stepping in on the man up at the top with his own. Gets a little bit of time just to wind up and fire. And really, Lynchburg taking control early on. This is what we expected for a team that's had some big wins so far this season and looking to get another one today.
First goal of the day. Fourth goal of the season for the 5'11 junior from Potomac, Maryland. He now has 2 points. 7 points on the season now for Cornelius. Aaron Murphy credited with the assist on that one, his 6th assist of the season, and it is indeed a 2-0 game. Good job done there by the Dragons to come away with that faceoff victory. They needed it, falling behind 2-0. You can't allow this game to get out of hand too quickly. We saw in our first game today, Nazareth put up a 5-spot, led 5-0 at the end of the first quarter over Dickinson. Try as they might, Dickinson could never fully close that gap as the game went on. Don't want to be in a similar situation here if you're the Red Dragons. They set up on the attack. Haven't seen much from their attack unit yet so far in this one. Wrapping around the goal right now. Stavrakis did get his shot off earlier. That's Zach Hopps, the reigning Suniac player of the game. He lobs it in, trying to get it behind the net. Instead, a nice job done by Chris Halley to pick it off. And on the run, an opportunity in transition right now for the Hornets. Nothing doing ultimately to come settled. It's a good run, just nothing there for Chris Howard, so we had to slow it down. And Lynchburg will set up on the attack once again. 8.5 to play in quarter number one already with a 2-0 lead.
Hornets able to control pace so far. Now it's Dane Angel with the righty rip. This time a good save on the inside by Toto. Lost it for a second, but gets it back.
Toto is able to outlet that one and on the run now trying to set up the attack once again, perhaps unsettled, but slowed down instead. Probably a good decision. It's Ethan Printy got it across midfield and got it ahead to Stavrakis, but Stavrakis realized it was not in favor of the Red Dragons as far as the numbers were concerned, and now Ricozzi works with it to the left of goalie Chris Halley, well outside the box. He's going to bring it back over to the near side. And it'll be Ethan Printy, the 5'11 junior. He swings it around to Stavrakis. Stavrakis to Hopps. And Hopps will bring it back around. And, boy, forcing the Cortland attackers well outside the box right now is that Lynchburg defense. They are not giving him a ton of space to operate with. Ricozzi tried to make a dodge move there to get towards the goal. It was cut off. comes up top, and that's a rip from Mike Cantelli, the senior captain. 2-1 game, his first goal of the day, eighth goal of the season.
Fantastic recognition working from X. Zach Hops feeds up top for a great moment to step in for Mike Cantelli, and there's no doubt about that one. Just overhand into the back of the net. That's beautiful lacrosse for Cortland.
And as you mentioned, Hops saw that all the way. His first assist of the day, 10th assist of the season. He now has 10 goals and 10 assists for 20 points on the year, and it is a 2-1 game in favor of Lynchburg as Cortland gets on the board. Back to the X. Another win for the Red Dragons. Opportunity briefly unsettled, but could not quite get that scoop pass converted. On the ground, a lot of contact there. And, yeah, I do think that was going to draw the call. I believe that call is going to go against number 10, Chris Hauer. It's going to put Cortland on the man up here with 7:08 to play. Howard just swung wildly and made a lot of contact with the head there. That's exactly what the call was. It was Patrick Brown, the senior, who was working with the ball, and Howard swung, looking for the stick, ended up getting the helmet, and that's going to draw the call every time.
Then we knew this game was going to be physical. We knew it was going to be back and forth.
And it's been frenetic,
really want
too.
This one. But who can play smarter? That's going to be the difference. Nice man up here and looking for a good run to tie it up for Cortland.
Yeah, 60-second man up opportunity for Cortland, their first man up chance of the game. And we'll see them use some patience here as they have stemmed the tide a bit. Things were swinging in the direction of the Hornets to start the game. Cortland has done a nice job to cut off momentum. However, a giveaway here would be bad. Very nice job done. Nope, could not quite get it before it went over that black line. It was a hell of an effort made there off the pass. Mike Cantelli, the earlier goal scorer, tried to track it down. Stavrakis was there too. Neither one of them could get it before it went over the line, and the ball goes back to Lynchburg now. They got 30 seconds still to kill off this man-up opportunity for Cortland. They'll go to work, trying to work that clock, and you see some aggressiveness from the Red Dragons defensively as they want to get this ball away while they still have some time on the man-up. Looks like Cortland's going to do a good job.
Under 6.5 left to go.
As a double team comes there, and the ball is forced. It was Todd Galvin who had the ball. He was forced out. The question becomes, was there a push, or did he go out on his own?
So it's going to be another penalty against Cortland.
Yeah.
So Galvin able to draw both penalties against the Red Dragons. The attackman for the Hornets doing a nice job hanging on possession and gaining some EMOs here early on.
Yeah, the 5'8 senior from Whitman, Massachusetts. 6 goals, 3 assists on the season for Galvin. And it's a veteran group up top for Lynchburg. He's a senior. Stewart and Murphy are juniors. So now you have 2 concurrent penalties at the moment. This first one for the Hornets is going to run up. They're going to now be man up for about 22 seconds here. But 20 seconds right now, man up opportunity for Lynchburg. That ball swung to Colin McGuire. He sends it over to Galvin. Galvin goes back behind the net to Murphy. Murphy will bring it all the way out. Back up top. Now Chris Cornelius. He'll swing it back to his left. And that shot stung in off the stick of Austin Stewart. His second goal of the day for the junior right down the road from Reisterstown, Maryland. That's his 23rd goal of the year, and it's a 3-1 lead for the Hornets.
Stewart with his second of the afternoon. Gets a little fake. Steps in with authority. My goodness, nothing that the goalkeeper could do about that one. And that is what you practice for. Stepping in and shots just like that on the EMO. We'll take it every time.
That ball was such a stinger. It might face Triple H at WrestleMania. 2 assists now on the day for Chris Cornelius to go along with the goal. He has 8 points on the season. 3-1 lead for Lynchburg here with 5:47 to play in the first quarter. Back to the faceoff X. Ball still on the ground. Procedure call. It's going to go the way of Cortland. Red Dragons trailing 3-1. Trying to cut into that lead right now. See on the run working with it for the Dragons. Is Mike Cantelli. He is the goal scorer on the day for Cortland. He gives it over to the middle of the field, and it's going to swing all the way to the other side. Cozy goes to work. He'll bring it behind the goal, and Stavrakis will get it. Stavrakis working goal line extended. It's Zach Hops, once again, the facilitator right now for Cortland. He's also a very capable goal scorer. You'll see him choose to wrap around and take shots plenty as this game goes on.
We'll see what the Red Dragons try to employ here. A lot of dodging from behind so far, not going against a short stick.
Brinton goes to Ricozzi. Ricozzi gets a beat in, tries to go low, just could not get that on the cage. Chris Halley not threatened by, and it's backed up by Cortland. 4:57 to play in quarter number one. Going back to work is Stavrakis. Stavrakis decides to fire. That was a little bit dangerous, as I don't know that Zach Hopps realized he was going to take that shot, able to get into position so that he beat Chris Halley out of the goal to back it up. I mean, it's a lot of intensity on the shot, just not really a good position, kind of out of control. That ball briefly appeared as though it was going to be intercepted, and said it's still on the ground, and a good job of using the body. However, Ricozzi is going to be called for it. A little bit too much body on that one, and the ball goes back the way of Lynchburg. Unsettled right now, an opportunity for a shot on the run, and it will be buried by Chris Howard. Goal number one today for the senior, his second goal of the year. Just kept that run going. Clear head, full heart, no problem. 4:34 to play in quarter number one. It's a 4-1 game in favor of Lynchburg.
Chris Hauer wearing that number 10 jersey very well, I must say. And he is a two-way middie, an old school, if you will. Coast to coast, no slide, you betcha. Top left corner, see you later. Chris Hauer with some emphasis.
Lynchburg in control so far, and Cortland needs a timeout to think about this one. Timeout called by Cortland head coach Steve Bevel's ninth season at Cortland. 144-24 to this point, but today his team in trouble, trailing 4-1. And be sure to visit the Owings Mills Green Turtle, located just 10 minutes from Mustang Stadium, during this weekend's Classic. Show your ticket to your server and get $5 off your purchase of $25 or more. Located at 2 Restaurant Drive South in Owings Mills, the Green Turtle combines comfort food, a casual atmosphere, and a sports bar theme where families, friends, and fans of all ages feel right at home. This is, of course, the Green Turtle Classic with SFMSports.net. Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you from Mustang Stadium. And credit to everyone involved in this event. I talked to Rob Randall, the head coach at Nazareth, after the first game. I know you talked to his counterpart after the first game. And just could not be more praise shown by the coaches, by the participants in this event, for the Green Turtle, for Stevenson University, and what they put together here with the Green Turtle Mustang Classic.
All six programs handpicked, fantastic representatives of Division III, of academics, of athletics, and of course the great sport of lacrosse. We spoke with two head coaches after the first game. Like you said, head coach David Webster, class act Ford Dickinson. Great things to say about his team despite coming up just short 13-11 against Nazareth. Rob Randall, another great coach, been recognized in the Empire A Conference. And then today, Kadelka on the Lynchburg sideline, definitely happy with what he's seen so far.
As you mentioned, that game we spoke to both coaches from the first game. We still have another one to come tonight when the host, Stevenson, coming off that tough loss to defending national champion Tufts on Tuesday night. They try to bounce back when they face Cabrini this evening. And then we'll come back and do it again. Technically tomorrow, more of a quadruple header, as we've got a women's game between Stevenson and Union in the morning. And then all of these six teams, they sort of shuffle up. They find a new dance partner for tomorrow. And we'll have another men's triple header in the afternoon. This ball off the call will go to Cortland, trailing 4-1 here. Still 4:25 to play in the first quarter. We've had a lot of action in this first quarter. Most of it going in favor of Lynchburg so far. Red Dragons trying to inch back into this one before the end of the first quarter. Zach Hopps has been fairly quiet so far in this one. He does have the one assist on the Cantelli goal.
To a reason why Hopps has maybe been quiet. You see Lombardo in there with the pole for Lynchburg. There are two guys in his unit. Very tough to beat for the Hornets.
TJ DeLyra now in, second team midfield on for the Red Dragons, trying to come up with some sort of answer to get the offense going here. Billy Davis working with it now. He's going to pull up, think about it a little bit longer, send it over. Now Hunter Osborne. He'll be back in the middle of the field. And once again, DeLyra sends it around to the right, and now comes all the way around the cage. An opportunity, perhaps, thinking about a wraparound. Drawing the flag instead. Good effort there.
It looks like Evan Leader is going to get tagged with the personal there. Flag down. Let's see what Cortland can do with it. Big possession right here. They're moving into the EMO now with 3 minutes left.
Knowing the man up is coming, they got some decisions to make. It was Bonatabius who did a good job of drawing the flag. comes all the way back up top. Billy Davis now is going to slide it to the other side of the field. Shot from distance, not... I don't know if that would have hit the outside of the post or whether that was Chris Halley preventing a goal. Either way, it's going to turn into a man-up opportunity for Cortland as that ball went out. So 2:52 to play here in the first quarter. Cortland gets the man-up chance. Bonatavius will track the ball down, and he will trigger it in for Cortland. It's a 60-second man-up chance, a big opportunity to try to cut into this Lynchburg advantage.
This is huge for the Red Dragons right now. Four goals, obviously, on the other side. All of them very big statement goals for Lynchburg. And the Red Dragons looking for one of their own now. Keep the ball hot.
Stavrakis working to his right. He gives it back to his left. And now sort of playing quarterback as Cantelli. He goes back to Stavrakis. And Cantelli will get it back up at the top. Drifting to his left before he swings it over to the right. It's going to come all the way back around behind the cage. Good job by Bonatavius before he decides to bring it back out. Stavrakis thought about a shot instead. Gives it to his left, and it comes back to the middle of the field to Bonatavius. That shot blocked down, an opportunity for a turnover here. And indeed, it'll be that's a great individual effort by Halley. It's a dangerous spot, but he manages to get the ball. Still in trouble are the Hornets, and a good job done defensively. Howie's got to get back on the cage as Bonatavius will give it over. Settling back down now is Cantelli as Cortland has the ball back.
Look at that ride. Great job by the Red Dragons to be persistent and hang on to the lacrosse ball.
Knowing they were a man up, and that penalty released back to even strength, 1:47 to play here in quarter number one. Bonatavius again working behind the cage. And nothing doing there for Zach Hopps. You see Zach Hopps now back into more of a scoring position with Bonatavius being the facilitator. Interesting strategy as Hopps did not really get much going offensively early on. Good defense, credit to that. But a change made by the Dragons, presumably to try to get Hopps a little bit more involved in the offense. Bonatavius working with it behind the cage. Maybe going for the wraparound. No. He comes back to his left. Good pass. But just that brief second of trying to find the ball ends up being the difference and that being a great give and go. Instead, this is not quite under control when the shot comes out. Backed up. It was off the stick of Ricosi.
Ricosi's the guy that could finish that. Good move on the crease there. He's strong. He can work through. And we'll look for a better look, though.
1 minute to play here in the first quarter. Lynchburg leading 4-1. Extended possession here for Cortland. At one point, they lost it, but a great job on the ride to get it right back. Now Cantelli going to work near side of the field. Nothing doing, so he's going to give it back out to Stavrakis, who will send it back to the top, where Ricosi's driving to his right. He's going to go low on the shot. Halley comes up with another save. Off the rebound, Cantelli's got it. He's got space. He fires a bouncer high over the cage, backed up by the Red Dragons. 28.2 seconds to play in quarter number one.
Flurry of opportunities, timeout taken, and a very smart call there
Lynchburg
the final 28.2.
Who takes the timeout. It's Steve Kadelka, who calls it, to think about things defensively here in the final 30 seconds of the first half. All right, Christian Payne, I'll put you in the Cortland huddle right now. You got 28.2 seconds to operate. Haven't had a lot going for you the right way offensively, but if you were head coach Steve Bevel, what is it that you would be calling in these moments?
I would look to go to Matt Ricosi. He's a senior. He's been experienced in big games like this, and shooting from the outside just hasn't seemed to work so far against a hot goaltender in Chris Halley. So I would look for Ricosi kind of just to move off that pick for the picker. I think that's a great sequence, especially with only about 25 seconds left. And if you look to teams that have played against squads like this, using that to an advantage in the past. Salisbury obviously winning a great championship in 03 over Middlebury on that same type of pick. So if you understand what I mean, you're in on the crease. Maybe Ricosi can move in, pick for kind of a fake screen, then roll off the other way for an inside shot.
Presumably Cortland looking for the final shot of the quarter, but if they get a good look before then, they won't be afraid to take it, as the most important thing they can do in these final 30 seconds is get this back to a 2-goal game. And 28.2 seconds to play here in the first quarter.
Crozy will be far right there.
And Zach Hopps starting with it behind the goal. He works to his left, sends it over to Ricosi. Ethan Printy was drifting back towards midfield. getting harassed, and this is just trying to work some time off the clock right now. If you're Lynchburg, take them out of their offense a bit as we're down to 12 seconds to play here in quarter number one. Zach Hopps not getting anything going towards the goal. Now, on the run, Ricozzi trying to get to the left. They had to run a long way, and I guess that was a shot attempt, but it was not in the same zip code as Chris Halley, the goalie for Lynchburg. And just like that, Halley will just sort of let the final second of the quarter run off. Great, great defense. That's why you call the timeout, to think about it. Great defense from the Hornets in the final seconds there of the first quarter. And they will go to quarter number two, leading 4-1 over Cortland. This is the Green Turtle Classic with SFMSports.net.
Follow us on Twitter
at Go Mustang Sports.
So good to see you. Got a dance right out of my shoes. Don't need a reason. All I really need is you. Just for the fun of it. Delicious, crisp taste of it. Just for the love of it. Just for the feel of it. Just for the taste of it. Diet Coke, just wanna catch ya. It's electric when you hit my lips. Feels so good to hold ya. It's the no calories that makes me feel like this. Just for the fun of it. And just for the thrill of it. Just for the love of it. Just for the taste of it. Diet Coke.
This is the Green Turtle Classic, powered by SFMSports.net.
All right, back in here at Mustang Stadium. Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you. We are getting underway in quarter number two. Lynchburg, the number 11 team in the land, leads Cortland 4-1 in the Green Turtle Classic with SFMSports.net. Big faceoff win there right off the bat for Pat Baldwin. And Cortland, who will now, of course, be moving from left to right on your internet dial in the white tops, white shorts, red helmets, and red numerals.
Goal scored so far for the Red Dragons as they settle in their first possession here in the second quarter. Mike Cantelli, the lone guy for the Red Dragons. On the other side, Austin Stewart with two big shots, two big goals for Lynchburg. Also, Chris Cornelius and Chris Hauer moving in for the latest goal for the Hornets.
It's been a while since we've seen the ball on this side. It's late in the first quarter. And now, very quickly, Cortland gets on the board here in quarter number two. Big shot from Stavrakis to make it a 4-2 game, less than a minute into it. And Cortland had that one coming for a while. I mean, they maintained much more of a possession advantage late in the first quarter. And Stavrakis just charges in and goes low to get it past Chris Halley and make it a 4-2 game for Stavrakis. That's his first goal of the day, his seventh goal of the season.
Fantastic individual move there for Stavrakis, a sophomore at 2'10", good size, and use it as well in that possession from Hillsborough, New Jersey. Timely goal for the Red Dragons.
No doubt about that. It's 9 points now on the year for Stavrakis. Clamp put down on this faceoff attempt. Ball comes out, and it's going to go the way of the Hornets. And right off the run, you saw Chris Hauer, who already has a goal on the day in an unsettled situation, thought about it once again, thought better of it, and holds it up. And Lynchburg goes on the attack here. 14 minutes to play in quarter number two. It's been a while since we've seen Lynchburg on the attack. I mean, they've had the advantage in this game. But as we mentioned, as the first quarter dwindled down, Cortland had much more of the ball. And now Lynchburg will try to get back to work and rebuild their lead. It's 4-2 with 13:45 to play. Colin McGuire with it all the way behind the cage. He's going to lob it to Aaron Murphy. Aaron Murphy with that one spin move works the other side of the cage. Two defenders right now out on, as it comes all the way down to Chris Cornelius. It was Stewart who drew the two defenders. Cornelius back to the right. He fires a low shot going to his left, backed up by Colin McGuire.
Good shot there. High to low, changing planes. Tough for the goalkeeper to pick up, and also a nice backup as well on the same page for Lynchburg right there.
Maybe a little bit out of control on the run there. Other than that, you're right. It was a good shot, Christian. Aaron Murphy charging to his right now.
Moving pick.
Moving pick gives the ball back to the Red Dragons, 13:10 to play in quarter number two. And Cortland has trimmed this lead to 4-2, an opportunity to maybe make it a one-goal game. First, they got to clear it.
McGuire getting called for the moving pick there, the first year out of Odenton, Maryland.
That was
a little bit of inexperience, but it's a close play.
That was a crisp low pass ahead to Billy Davis. Davis does a good job of recognizing it and picking it up. And now Cortland sets up on the attacking end. It was a 4-1 game. At the end of the first quarter, Cortland scored the first goal. James Stavrakis with his first goal of the day. The ball being tossed around now. Stavrakis will send it back over to Zach Hops. Hops, who has one assist but is yet to get on the board today, the leading goal scorer for the Red Dragons. The ball will come back out. Will have to be scooped up as it was briefly lost by Delira. And now on the run, and it leads to a fancy behind-the-back opportunity, but nothing on that behind-the-back opportunity from Matt Savlov, and it goes the other way. Lynchburg now will set up with the attack on the other end. Savlov, we see this all the time in this sport where you see somebody put a really pretty look together, but not necessarily the look that was really what the coaching staff would have wanted in that situation.
And the hot goaltender Chris Halley with a fantastic save there, matching stick to stick on that BTB attempt. Good little shot there from Murphy.
Yeah, Aaron Murphy charging to his right, sort of threw it mid to mid essentially. It goes out, backed up again by the Hornets, and they maintain possession here. 11:42 to play. That shot from Murphy, high to low, to the outside of Scott Toda, to his right, for Murphy, his first goal of the day. 6-2 Lynchburg. Sorry, 5-2 Lynchburg, that is. My apologies.
Murphy's going to stick that one every single time. He's had several good looks. None better than that one, though. I mean, just got to hand it to him with fantastic flying colors in front. Good look. Let's see the replay. Dodging in Stewart. Finds him just wide open. Miscommunication there on the defense end for Cortland. An even better shot by Murphy to beat the goalkeeper to the left-hand side.
First goal of the day for Murphy, 13th of the season. He also has an assist on the day, so he now has 19 points. Austin Stewart with his first assist on the day. He's got two goals. It's his second assist of the season, 25 points now for the 5'11 junior from Reisterstown. Faceoff win, and we're going the other way with Cortland. You see Zach Hops will send it back behind the goal. Stavrakis now working as the facilitator. He drove that out. A little bit of a two-man game that they're working with. Matt Ricozzi waits patiently. Ethan Printy comes off the bench. And it comes back over to Ricozzi. Ricozzi, the 6-foot senior from Clifton Park, New York. He goes over to Hops. Hops, one fake, goes low, and somehow gets that through. And eventually, it's finally called. I don't know what the delay was. He got it right through the legs of Chris Halley, and Zach Hops is on the board for the first time today. Worked from goal line extended. Just took one move to get in and get enough space to get that shot off. And it is a 5-3 game now.
Zach Hops finally getting his name in the scoring column. Great move there on the inside. Able to work through. This is his 11th goal on the season. Good little up and under move, and then sticks it in the near side and points to it in the back, too. A little stop point.
Evan Leader bought the fake going to the left, and that allowed him the space to go right back to the right, and he went right between the legs of Chris Halley. And again, it took a minute for the officials to recognize. I think that's the real reason why Zach Hops pointed down. I don't think he was doing it for style as much as he was trying to say, hey, the ball's in the net. That's a goal. It is his first goal of the day, his 11th of the season. He now has 21 points, and it's going to be Cortland ball once again off this timeout. Cortland again trailing by two at 5-3. An opportunity to get even closer here. 10:57 to play in the second quarter. This is the Green Turtle Classic with SFMSports.net. Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you from Mustang Stadium in Owings Mills. Game number two of a triple header today.
Fantastic event, game number two. Always big thank you to the Green Turtle. Grew up going to the original Green Turtle on 117th Street in Ocean City. Fantastic family atmosphere, no matter what location is here and the Green Turtle.
And clearly they've always been big sports supporters of lacrosse in this area. They sort of go hand in hand, the Green Turtle and the game of lacrosse. Cortland now setting up on the attack once again. Cantelli will slide it back over to the other side of the field. It'll come back near side to Cantelli. He's working with Stavrakis, two-man game. Stavrakis fires it in, and Halley saw it the whole way, not fooled whatsoever by that shot. And now an opportunity to clear for Lynchburg. They will get it across midfield and set up on the attack once again, leading 5-3. And for the Hornets right now, just trying to add on to that lead. They've been playing from ahead for the entire game, and they want to continue to do that.
Checking in the midfield for Lynchburg, number 12, Harrison Brennan.
Yep.
Jacob sophomore Fuller. Midfielder out of the Salisbury Ocean City area, product of Worcester Prep. Here is for his first dodge in the right alley. My alma mater, so shout out to Harrison Brennan.
Oh, I see. I was trying to figure out why you're so excited about Harrison Brennan being in the game, and I now understand it much more.
Sophomore year, looking to turn some heads in that number 12 jersey.
Jacob Fuller swung it back over, and it's going to come back around behind the cage. And Aaron Murphy give and go right now with Austin Stewart. How does he find an angle for that shot? How in the world is there any net for him to work with? I don't know. All I know is Austin Stewart's got a hat trick now, and it's a 6-3 game.
Stewart with a hat trick. It's only the first half, and it's only going to get better. Watch this play. Murphy on the split. He goes to GLE. Nice little switch flip. Then he just turns on the pedal. Absolutely pings the top right corner. You got to love it from Stewart.
No idea how there was any net there for him to turn to. Anyway, it's goal number 24 now on the season for the 5'11 junior, and you know he's inspired. He grew up right down the street here in Reisterstown, Maryland. He now has on the year 26 points, and it is a 6-3 game with 9.5 minutes to play here in quarter number two. And for Aaron Murphy, two assists now on the day. He's got 7 on the season. He's got 20 points. The ball will go the way of the Red Dragons here. And Cortland has not played poorly today whatsoever. It's just they've been having to play a little bit of a cat and mouse game, and they've had to play catch up the entire time. They need to put together a string of goals in order to get back into this one.
Pretty even up in the faceoff category. We're also working against a hot goaltender, and Hallie standing between the pipes for Lynchburg.
Made some nice plays today, no doubt about that. Ethan Printy will give it back over to Cantelli. Cantelli scored the first goal of the day for the Red Dragons. That shot comes in off the stick of Stavrakis and did not threaten Hallie whatsoever. Goes out backed up by Cortland. Under 9 minutes to play now in quarter number two.
Our Dragons in need of a momentum play right here. 8:45. Plenty of lacrosse here in the first half, but all of Lynchburg's goals, I would argue, are just big stingers, big statements, and the Red Dragons need one right here, right now.
Bonatavius triggered it into Ricozzi. Ricozzi went to work, didn't find anything, and so he slid at the hops. Hops goes across the field, and again, Stavrakis trying to go low to high, just not able to get these on the cage right now. Again, the Dragons back it up. 8.5 minutes to play in quarter number two. Zach Hopps working with it now. Goal line extended. He's going to go all the way to his right. He's going to go all the way around the cage. He was thinking about trying to go low for a shot. Instead, double fakes, trying to come to the other side now. That's all Zach Hopps right there. Not able to get that one in. It's a fine individual effort and backed up and held onto by Cortland. Bonatavius sends it to Stavrakis, and they're going to come all the way back out up top. Cantelli now going to his right. Good defense on this possession. Burke Ellis in to help out for Lynchburg. All the way back up top. Printy now on the drive to his left. Nothing going, so he's going to send it around the cage, and Zach Hopps will try once again. Hopps finds Ricozzi. Ricozzi well outside the box. He goes across field. An opportunity going in, and a hammer that, yeah, it was the outside of the net. Did not get on goal. James Stavrakis got a bunch of shots off on that possession, but didn't get any of them on net. Well, on the outside of the net, I guess he got that last one on the hammer. And with the midway point of the second quarter, it is still a 6-3 game as Lynchburg sets up offensively.
Cortland comes up empty. I like the composure there. They went for the shot selection, just couldn't get something in the back of the net. Here is another guy you look to as a go-to guy for Lynchburg. A couple goals so far.
Aaron Murphy gives it over to Ty Galvin. Galvin will send it back the other side, and Colin McGuire, the freshman. McGuire back to the middle of the field. Dane Angel, the junior from Raleigh, North Carolina, going to his right. He sends it back behind the cage, and again, Galvin and Murphy. Long hair don't care for Aaron Murphy. He goes back to the middle of the field. It's going to come all the way back around to Galvin. Galvin now charging to his right back towards the middle. Spins. And has to bring it all the way back out. Angel loses it. It's on the ground. He's going to come up with this one. It will be Cortland Ball. Good job done there on the ground ball by Joe Brand to come away with it. However, back on the ground, picked up instead this time, an unsettled situation, an unfortunate pipe. As a really great look for Austin Stewart right in front of the goal. Thought he was going to have his fourth of the day. Instead, it hits the pipe. It's backed up by Lynchburg. The Hornets still have it. Frenetic situation here in quarter number two. Murphy drives to the right, goes back to his left, and buries that shot low past Scott Toda. Murphy will make it a 7-3 game.
Lynchburg starting to flex those muscles on offense, working through a sequence there. The broken play, Aaron Murphy, the beneficiary of it. Off the restart there, just works past two guys, back to his left. This time, I can stick it with either hand past Joe Scalise and into the back of the net.
It was Luke McNaney who he beat with the fake before he put it in for his second goal of the day, his 14th goal of the year.
Goalkeeper switch for Cortland now between the pipes. It's Scalise, Joe, the first year at 225, a big guy.
And they've got five goalies on the roster. Scott Toda's got the majority of the work, but they're trying to figure out who it's going to be. This ball will stay with the Hornets. It's Aaron Murphy. And the ball back on the ground. It's going to be picked up this time by the Red Dragons, and they will try desperately to keep it in. Instead, Gino Prestigiacomo was about to go out of bounds, so he just left the ball on the ground, and it's going to be Lynchburg ball. Harassing effort on the ride there by the Hornets.
It's a similar sequence. Didn't kind of come in the same momentum switch as we saw in the first game, but just really 7-3 at halftime, similar look. Let's see how Corlin can respond on the defensive end. Obviously, Nazareth with a huge lead over Dickinson in the first half, going at 5-0 in the first quarter.
Yep.
Bad things happen. What you do about it, that counts.
So Austin Stewart gets knocked to the ground. He's tried to take the shot from the ground and couldn't get the ball out of his stick. Bad pass here and an opportunity to come away with a turnover. A lot of contact. No call on that push. And I think that's the right call, because I believe in that situation that Eric Lombardo was facing the defender that pushed. So ball stays with Cortland off the turnover. 7-3 game, under 5 minutes to play here in quarter number two, and the Red Dragons set up once again on the attack.
Crucial possession for the Red Dragons. Need a goal right here.
And this ball's going to be swung all the way around. It's going to come back up top to TJ DeLyra, the sophomore. He's drifting to his right before he swings it back over to his left, to Billy Davis. And Davis is going to give this one over. Hunter Osborne now working with it well outside the box. He charges to his right, going towards the cage. Nothing there, so Osborne goes to Bonatabius, and Bonatabius will swing it around to Stavrakis, and this one's going to come all the way back out top to Delira. And they will think about it again. Will Cortland. Big possession for them, trailing by four, 7-3 to play here in the second, or 7-3 is the score, 4 minutes to play here in the second quarter. Delira, a couple of fakes, finally decides to take the shot on Halley. It wasn't necessarily on goal. Halley got a stick on it anyway. It goes out, backed up by Cortland.
Red Dragons just fiercely trying to find these short stick matchups. Lynchburg doing a good job of switching, communicating on the defensive end.
Zach Hopps charging around the goal. He puts it low. Halley guessed wrong, but luckily his foot was in the right place, and so he comes away with the save. Now he's got to get it away, and he's going to choose to run in order to do so, and waiting for him to help in the middle of the field. That's a really great job done by Halley to get that ball out. A really great job done all together on that clear, as it was Cole Barrett who was waiting for him at midfield. And now Lynchburg once again sets up, looking to extend their lead to 5. 3:15 to play in quarter number two. Ball back to the middle of the field. That's where Dane Angel has it. He gives it over to his right. Now charging to the left, holding up. Galvin loses it. The ball comes back to Galvin. Todd Galvin with it. Now working to the left from the edge of the box. He swings it back to the middle of the field. Austin Stewart will swing it back over to the right. Charging into the left and not really getting much on that shot. However, waiting for it was Aaron Murphy. Aaron Murphy wraps around the goal. Thought about a shot, not there, so he's going to bring it all the way back out up top to Angel. Angel going to work from the far edge of the box, or just beyond the far edge of the box. 2.5 minutes to play in the second quarter. Angel working to his right. He's being harassed. Good defense. Nothing doing from McNaney defensively. This is going to be another shot. That one low off the stick of Austin Stewart. And making his first save of the game is Joe Scalise, who just entered for Cortland. Now in transition, unsettled, Zach Hops will bury that one. Low to high, right over Chris Howley. Zach Hops on the board for the second time today, and it is a 7-4 game.
Hops with the lefty laser beam, but you got to rewind a little bit. After the save, Scalise outrunning on the break. Here come the Red Dragons. Skip pass, and guess who's unbelievable riser shot by Zach Hops. Finger in the air, money in the bank.
Howley could not react in time to get up and get his stick on that one for Hops, his second goal of the day, his 12th goal of the season. He also has an assist on the day, so he's got 22 points for Stavrakis. He is first assist of the day, 3 assists on the year. Now he's got 10 points on his sophomore campaign. 3-goal game once again with just over 2 minutes to play. Procedure call there, and this one's going to go the way of the Hornets.
Lynchburg gets the ball back, but right there, Glenn, just a huge confidence sequence. A save, a great clear, a good fast break, well executed, and then your go-to guy just sticks one top shelf.
You would think, however, that Cortland needs to build off of it again. At some point, you have to go on a little bit of a run. You can't erase a 4-goal deficit by trading goals. It's just the math will never work. Again, as I said in the first game, I was not a math major at the University of Maryland, but I do know a little bit about math, and when you're down by 4, trading goals will never get you back into the game. They're going to have to go on a run. However, Lynchburg gets the ball back off the faceoff, and they're setting up the attack with 1.5 minutes to play. Comes all the way back up top to Austin Stewart. He slides it to the right, far side of the field. Individual move there made by Daniel Owens, but ultimately nothing doing, so it comes all the way back out. You see second team midfield on once again for Lynchburg. And really absolutely nothing there on the shot by Austin Stewart. Well high of the cage, but backed up and held on to by the Hornets. And it's going to be Cortland who takes the timeout this time. 1:06 to play here in the second quarter. Lynchburg up 7-4. The number 11 team in the country leads the number 7 team in the country. We'll finish up the second quarter when we come back. It is the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net.
Something I discovered in myself is that if I have a goal, I can accomplish it.
It's a well-rounded experience.
At a Division III school, you're primarily a student athlete, so the school is really shaped around you developing yourself as a complete individual.
It helps a lot that you have a family with your team that can guide you.
Back to the Green Turtle Classic, live from Owings Mills, Maryland, on the Mustang Sports Network.
Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you here at Mustang Stadium, the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net. So far, mostly Lynchburg in this one as they lead 7-4 right now over Cortland. 1:06 to play here in the second quarter of this one, and Lynchburg trying to make it a 4-goal lead before we get to the half here. Not a whole lot to be said other than this has been a arm's-length type of game. It's been Lynchburg leading Cortland. I don't think it's played poorly whatsoever, but they just have not been able to convert enough opportunities. Lynchburg's done a good job of maintaining possessions and finishing and burying, that is, as Aaron Murphy and Austin Stewart have been as good as advertised, combining for 5 goals and 3 assists thus far.
Here's Murphy to start it out of the break, and Austin Stewart has not seen a shot he doesn't like. Already a hat trick for Austin Stewart in Lynchburg.
No doubt, in his homecoming back to this area from this part of Baltimore County, returns here to play as part of the Green Turtle Mustang Classic. One more possession, you would assume, right now, that Lynchburg will try to hold for the final shot of the half. Cornelius slides it over. It comes all the way back around the cage. And now right in the middle of the field, and a tremendous give-and-go there to Austin Stewart. Stewart goes low. That's his 4th goal of the day on the bouncer. And with 30 seconds to play in the half, it's now an 8-4 game.
4 goals for Stewart. He's scoring every which way you can imagine. There, great team offense, getting the crease moving and moving hot, moving left to right, kind of going off that little slide pick. And then Stewart gets it. Not quite a quick stick. Gave Scalise enough time to move over. corner, but even just picked the corner, bounces it right at the goal line and then rings it up across the crossbar.
Enough time here to still do something for whoever wins this faceoff. For Austin Stewart, that is goal number 25 on the season. To go along with one assist today, he now has 27 points on his junior campaign. The Red Dragons win the faceoff, but they're going to have to operate quickly. It was Ty Galvin, by the way, who got the assist on that. That's his first point of the day. He now has four assists on the year and 10 points for the season. Still, 6 seconds left. Going to have to fire a shot, and nowhere near the goal was that shot off the stick of Mike Cantelli. Just 4 seconds left to play in the half. As it's going to be Bonatavius who will trigger it back in, and he's got to do something quickly. He'll just lob it sort of towards the middle of the field. Cantelli nearly managed to catch it, and it could have been interesting. Instead, it goes out, and at the half, it's an 8-4 game. Lynchburg doubling up right now. Cortland coming up at the half. We'll go over the highlights from the first half, plus we'll take a look at stats and set up half number two. It's been a good one for Lynchburg so far on the Green Turtle Classic with SFMSports.net.
The top Division III lacrosse teams are coming to Owings Mills March 20th and 21st. The Green Turtle Classic pits the nation's top talent against each other in a six-game showcase. This year's lineup includes Lynchburg, Cabrini, Cortland, Nazareth, Dickinson, and Stevenson. The Mustang Sports Network will bring you all six games live. Get the schedules at sfmsports.net. Brought to you by the Green Turtle of Owings Mills.
Times are different than they were when GEICO started saving people money over 75 years ago. Everybody takes photos of their food nowadays. You can bet none of us kids would snap pictures of Mom's tuna casserole surprise. To this day, we don't know what the surprise was, nor do we want to. We didn't always have tasty food, but we always had great car insurance with GEICO.
GEICO, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
I did receive a non-athletic scholarship upon entering school.
I got the presidential scholarship, which was huge for me.
I think there's more opportunities for academic scholarships in Division III.
I did receive academic scholarships. Just being involved on campus, being a leader, all those things combined kind of get me recognized. It's a great experience for me.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry, car changing lanes. You wanna meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Mustang Sports Network returns to the press box for first half highlights and a breakdown of the stats. This is the Green Turtle Classic, powered by SFMSports.net.
Back out here at Mustang Stadium. Right now at the half, Lynchburg leads Cortland 8-4 in the Green Turtle Classic here with SFMSports.net. Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you in game number two of our triple header today. Let's take a look at our first half highlights as Lynchburg built up that 8-4 lead, and we will start with Austin Stewart, and why not, one of four goals in the first half. That was his first one, made it 1-0 on the bouncer there. Now, on the other side for Cortland, it wasn't all Lynchburg in the first half. Here's their first goal. Mike Cantelli drove it in to make it a 2-1 game. Now, on the other side, Chris Hauer. And there's another pretty one from Austin Stewart instead. Now Chris Hauer on the run, just made the decision the entire way that he was going to go to goal, and indeed he did, to make it a 4-1 game there. Back to the other side of things for Cortland, and it's James Stavrakis to start the second quarter, charging in and going low. come away with his first goal of the game, his only goal of the game to this point. Made it a 4-2 game. Now, Zach Hops, pretty fake, goes low into the back of the net, had to show the officials because they didn't realize. And at that point, it was a 5-3 game. However, so much Austin Stewart. This one, his third goal of the game, gave him the hat trick. Tremendous effort, goal line extended, and more from Austin Stewart coming. However, this one's Aaron Murphy faking to the right and then going back to the left to make it a 7-3 game. Good job done here by Zach Hops from Cortland late in the second quarter to bury that one, going low to high and cut the lead back to 7-4, but we're at 8-4 because one more time, and why not, Austin Stewart off the quick feed from Todd Galvin made it 8-4 at the half, and that's where we stand right now in this one. Lynchburg on top of Cortland. We'll come back in and go over the stats from the first half, then we'll get ready for half number two between two top 15 programs in the Mustang Classic, the Green Turtle Mustang Classic. This is SFMSports.net.
I know sports is important, but having the academic part along with it is a big plus. I've discovered in myself, you know, a newfound ability to overcome adversity at all different angles. At a Division III school, school is really shaped around you developing yourself as a complete individual. The end result, in my mind, is you just become a very well-rounded person.
Before I came into college, I didn't really think I'd be able to balance so much. It helps a lot that you have a family with your team that can guide you.
With a D3 school, there's a lot of time for other opportunities. The coaches expect a lot of you during soccer, but after soccer, that's your own personal time to really find out who you are and other opportunities that you can pursue.
By balancing all of my interests, basketball, my leadership skills, and academics, I'm able to better prioritize my life and to manage it.
Today, Geico's edition of Stuff Found in Your Car takes us under your driver's seat.
Hi, I'm Penny. I used to think I was lucky, but then you dropped me down here. I get it, I'm only worth a cent. Not like the hundreds of dollars you could save when you switch your car insurance to Geico. That's money you could put in a bank or a wallet. Go ahead, call Geico. I'll be here on the floor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
The Stevenson University Alumni Association has a long-standing tradition of providing many programs that affords the more than 15,000 alumni to stay involved in the college. Through career and internship fairs, alumni happy hours, sporting events and outings, and open houses, the Stevenson University alumni are able to stay connected to the university, students, fellow alumni, and the community. To learn about the SU Alumni Association programs and upcoming events, visit stevenson.edu/alumni.
The Green Turtle Classic continues in minutes. Now, back to the All-Access Halftime Show.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, Lynchburg, the number 11 team in the country, leads Cortland 8-4 at the half in the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net. Glenn Clark alongside Christian Payne as we get ready for half number two. Let's take a look at the first half statistics. And as you would expect, these teams have been fairly evenly matched in every department except for goals and faceoffs. Again, the 8-4 lead in large part because, well, actually, it doesn't make any sense now that I think about it. Cortland having a 10-4 lead in faceoffs. Go figure how this is an 8-4 game right now, Christian Payne.
Well, the difference is because of Austin Stewart, the guy in the homecoming with four goals and absolutely just burying a couple, despite good defense by the Red Dragons. He's just making a better effort himself in that number 13 jersey. But, yeah, you look to the faceoffs, it's kind of surprising. 10-14 for Cortland, and they only have four goals. But on the other side, a hot goaltender in Halley has just been fantastic to open up this matchup.
And obviously a big difference in the man up is Lynchburg has converted all three of their man up opportunities, whereas Cortland did not convert one in the first half. And again, let's say those numbers are 1 of 3 for both teams. Now you're talking about instead a 6-5 game instead of an 8-4 game. So that's a big area where it's been different. But I mentioned this a couple times during the first half. Unlike our first game today, the game between Dickinson and Nazareth, where as the first half was going on, we could say definitively that Nazareth was clearly outplaying Dickinson. They were much better at that point. I don't know that I feel the same way about this one. I feel like this is a much more evenly matched game. It just so happens to be a four-goal game at the half, that a couple of things have gone the right way for Lynchburg that haven't gone the right way for Cortland. I guess I feel better. As it turns out, in their first game, Dickinson ended up making a charge anyway, but I maybe feel better about Cortland's chances of making a charge in the second half than I did Dickinson in game number one.
I do too, and I think that the main point to look at in that confidence level is the faceoffs. That's why Dickinson wasn't able to come back in the end. Just a great job by Nazareth down the stretch to win the faceoff. So possession, obviously the name of the game, but go-to guys doing well. Zach Hopps, very quiet to start the game, but then he willed in that first goal. Yep. Remember, he kind of pointed it to in the back of the net, showed the officials, and then getting a confidence goal that left the riser into the back of the net. But the duo on the other side outperforming for Lynchburg, doing a fantastic job. Aaron Murphy with a couple of nice goals, and then Austin Sear with four to lead all scorers. A
couple of juniors for the Hornets who have been absolutely living up to their billing in this one. A combined 6 goals and 3 assists for Austin Stewart and Aaron Murphy. And as we look at the goal scorers for these teams, for Lynchburg, they're 8. 4 from Stewart, 2 from Murphy, a goal apiece as well for Chris Hauer, that good transition goal, as well as Chris Cornelius, who also has a pair of assists on the day. For Cortland, Zach Hopps, those 2 goals that you referenced, Christian Payne's also James Stavrakis, Mike Cantelli scored goals in the first half for Cortland. That's how we've gotten to 8-4. By the way, turnovers as well, just 8-7. Everything so fairly even in this game. 7 of 8 clears for Lynchburg, 6 of 8 clears for Cortland. This game is just so even. The other thing that jumps out at you, however, as you mentioned, that hot goalie, and again, Chris Halley, it's worth pointing out, has made 8 saves. The duo of goalies that we've seen for Cortland, Scott Toda, as well as Joe Scalise, who they went to as the first half went on, have combined to only make 3. So there's another area where you can find sort of the difference, whereas a lot of the stats make this game look like it's very even. Getting ready to get underway here in half number 2. Glad you're with us on a lovely Saturday afternoon. Spring has arrived, finally, in the greater Baltimore area. We don't know that it'll stay, as my partner Christian Payne knocks on every piece of wood that he can find. We hope that it'll stay, but it has arrived, and it is a nice day today. As we go back to the face-off X, Cortland having some work to do to try to get back into this one in the second half, and that's not a good way to start, as Lynchburg will win the opening face-off. And on the run, an unsettled situation, and a big opportunity off the stick of Aaron Murphy, a little bit wide with the shot.
Murphy trying to pump that one in, just a few seconds gone from the faceoff.
And Bobby Dissler.
Control. Good job for them just to hang tight. Well advised shot. Here they go for a full possession.
And Dissler, as soon as he knew the call was coming, picked that ball up and started running, and that's what started that whole thing. Had a decision to make there, did Chris Cornelius. He thought he could maybe get some position and get in towards the crease. Instead, decided to hold it up, and they will restart the attack here. The ball comes all the way back out to Todd Galvin. He makes 2 fakes, tries to go to his right. Nothing there. Good defense. And he's still having to decide what he's going to end up doing with this possession. That's just great job done by David Foster defensively.
Now, David Foster also got the chin strap off of number 49. Galvin, so great job there to hang tight and play on the gloves.
No doubt about that. Colin McGuire will bring it back up top, thinking about the shot and having it poked out instead. David Foster defensively. Really, really well done. Cortland going the other way. Opportunity unsettled briefly. And it's going to come out. Long stick up shot. Shot from up top. Nothing doing really there as that one went all the way in to the stick of Halley. No real threat whatsoever. And we go the other way back to Lynchburg.
Dan Southard denied there with the long knife, trying to just cut through the defense and fire it home. Great save once again by the hot goaltender. Continues to impress.
And save number 9 on the day now for Halley. He's been very good. And Lynchburg sets up once again. We're about a minute and a half into the third quarter already. A lot going on for both teams. Great, really job done there by Galvin, but didn't get anything on the shot. And instead of it getting through to be backed up, Scorano able to pick it up off the bounce. And we'll go the other way with Cortland. It's a nice effort there by Scorano to get the turnover off that shot.
Here's now, the danger zone against a very fast Lynchburg ride. Get the ball back.
And Lynchburg will indeed get the ball right back. And getting pestered right now is Aaron Murphy. He's going to pull it up and allow things to get settled before they set up the attack this time down. 8-4 game. Neither team has scored here in half number two. We are just underway still in half number two. A lot happening. Second midfield on once again for Lynchburg. McGuire working behind the cage. He brings it around. Daniel Owens will slide it back in the middle of the field. That's where Harrison Brennan goes to work, to his left. Pulls it up. Now again going to the left. Now back to the right.
Good patience by Brennan on the re-dodge.
Brennan, the 5'10 sophomore from Salisbury. And now it's Daniel Owens working to his left. Nothing doing there. And so he'll circle back around. It'll come all the way back out on top. Good patience being shown by the second team midfield. Jacob Fuller going to his left. Nothing there. He slides it back over to Brennan near side. Brennan's going to bring it down to Colin McGuire. And McGuire will give it back to Brennan, working goal line extended right now. 11:50 to play in quarter number three. And is now Daniel Owens has it behind the cage.
Flags down on the field. We'll see what the Hornets do.
They know that a man up is coming, so they want to get a good shot off here. Just don't want to throw anything at the goal. They're going to be told to keep it in. That shot's going to come from Brennan, not really threatening at all as it went wide to the left, actually to Scalise's right. And we're going to have a man-up chance here for Lynchburg. 3 of 3 on the man-up in half number one. One of the key differences in this game. We can see if they can continue their success. 11:25 to play here in quarter number three.
We've had two goaltenders, and it's be a first man-up sequence for Joe Scalise.
Great point.
The pipes.
Very, very good point. Colin McGuire again working goal line extended. He brings it behind the cage, and it comes all the way back out up top. Todd Galvin sends it to McGuire. McGuire around to Murphy, and comes back out to Cornelius. Closing space each time, and that is a rifle. Absolute rocket for goal number 9 today for the Hornets. And Sean Ahern puts it away, number 25, his first goal of the day. Seldom used Sean Ahern scoring. 9-4 lead for the Hornets.
The hired gun on the man up. Ahern coming in the second half and making do on just a beautiful island opportunity. 5-by-5 into the back of the net. Lynchburg flexing those muscles.
And now with 11:03 to play in quarter number three, it is a 5-goal lead for the Hornets. Chris Cornelius, his third assist on the day. That's now 9 points on the season for the 5'11 junior. Cortland got the ball off the faceoff, not able to keep it in there along the sideline, and it goes right back to Lynchburg. It is all Hornets right now. Just nothing doing for Cortland. Again, in the first half, while the score was 8-4, it didn't seem as though it was a lopsided game. The score didn't really make sense given the way the game is played, but so far in the second half, it has been all Lynchburg as they try to further extend this lead. Colin Ganley thought about going all the way in, instead decides to pull it up. Dane Angel will work with it. Be interesting to see how much more of the second team midfield we see for Lynchburg. If they can maintain this lead, they start thinking about playing another game tomorrow. Drive all the way in from Cornelius. He tried to go low. Good job done by Scalise to get a foot on it.
Very deep team here in 2015. That's why they've already had big wins, most namely over Salisbury.
Yeah, massive, massive win to start the season. Big surprise to the D3 lacrosse world. Dane Angel working to his left. He gets some space to go in. However, that shot on the outside of the post, backed up by Colin McGuire, stays with Lynchburg.
Defense for Corlin there. Dylan Georges with a short stick. Just got to do a little bit better of a job communicating there on the switch. Kind of got caught in between, and there's a wide open opportunity for the Hornets.
McGuire tried to duck back in to his right from goal line extended. It just wasn't there, so he pulled it back out. Austin Stewart, what a first half for Austin Stewart. 4 goals and an assist. How much more does he have in him here in half number two? Continues that run all the way back out, and Todd Galvin now has it. Galvin fakes right, goes left, goes back in the middle of the field. An opportunity there for a close-in shot for Angel, but a good job done by Scalise. He has not played a ton coming into today's game. He did not blink there, and it goes the other way for Cortland.
Textbook goalkeeping play there, just stepping out to cut off the angle as the attacker was right in front center there, coming down on the crease. Good body save for Scalise. Definite confidence booster.
And now Cortland sets up the attack, trailing 9-4. Have not scored here in the first 6 minutes of half number two. Trying to get back in this one. Austin Hope, we haven't seen a ton of him today, the 6-foot sophomore from Liverpool, New York. He's in. Stavrakis sends it over to Hops. Hops will bring it back out. Rakosi working with it. Outside the box, far side. Rakosi charges all the way in towards the goal, decides to go low. Save made by Halley. He lost it for a second, picks it back up. 10th save of the game for Chris Halley. He's been tremendous.
And I'm actually surprised that that's only his double-digit save. I thought he was
already
up there.
Yeah, it does seem like it'd be more than that, doesn't it? A lot of trouble somehow holding onto that ball. I have no idea how Luke Ernst didn't lose that in the middle of the field. Instead, he maintains possession, slides it over to Hauer. But that ball's going to go the other way back to Cortland.
Hit the Z button, little truck stick, but still, ball goes back the other way. Job by Ernst just to put the pedal to the metal.
Really have no idea how he managed to maintain possession there. Unfortunately for him, all for naught. Mike Cantelli working with it for the Red Dragons. He's operating from outside the box, near side, as the shadows are now becoming a bit of a factor. They have crept all the way to the middle of the field on this end, really beyond the middle of the field in the midfield. It's the tower that we're working from here at Mustang Stadium. That pass intercepted going the other way. Good job by Eric Lombardo to step in front. He's got the long pole. He goes, brings it all the way up top. Great movement, and that's going to pay off with Colin McGuire. That was San Antonio Spurs-like movement. That was great patience. Two good looks instead. Willingness to move it ahead and get a great look for McGuire. His first goal of the day, fifth goal of his freshman season, and now it's a 10-4 lead for Lynchburg.
To go to your motif there, Lombardo, the point break, little Tony Parker-esque coming from defense, then moving forward. It was Murphy, Ginobili slicing through the D, and then the finisher, Colin McGuire, a little bit shorter than Tim Duncan, but he gets the goal nonetheless.
Maybe Kawhi Leonard instead. Yeah. We'll give him credit for it right there. For Murphy, third assist on the day. He's got 5 points, 22 on the year, and Lynchburg just piling on at the moment. Surprising that they have seized such control of this game. Midway point of the third quarter, and they get the ball back now with a chance to add on, maybe make it a 7-goal lead, as they have just absolutely dominated here the start of the second half. It was an 8-4 game, and didn't feel like it should be an 8-4 game, but now it's up to 10-4, and it's been all Lynchburg in quarter number three. The Hornets operating once again. Jacob Fuller brings it behind the goal. Colin McGuire, the freshman, looking and finally delivering the ball.
Here's Stewart.
Austin Stewart.
Glenn, got to say the momentum definitely on Lynchburg's side right now, but if you look back to last game, this is almost exactly the same sequence we saw Dickinson come back
point.
With. Six goals.
It was a 9-3 game around the midway point of the third quarter, and Dickinson was completely out of it against Nazareth. They charged back to make it 9-6, ultimately able to get within 2 goals late. That shot low, and a good save there from Scalise. He's made a couple of nice saves since he's entered in. Daniel Owens trying to go high to low on that one on the run, not able to get it between the legs of Joe Scalise. Good play there, and Cortland takes over. Glad you brought that up, Christian Payne, because this one feels now, this is completely all on the side of Lynchburg at the moment, but all it takes is one play, just something going your way that you can build some momentum off of. Zach Hobbs, plenty capable of doing those types of things for the Red Dragons. Billy Owens with it. He's going to send it behind the cage. As Cortland patiently sets up their attack.
Let's see what they can do out of the midfield. A lot of their offense has been running through X. Let's see what they can do right now against these shorties up top.
I think I called Billy Davis, Billy Owens, the last time he touched the ball. I think I'm thinking of the old Miami Heat center. TJ DeLyra now with it. That San Antonio Spurs conversation got me on basketball talk. I have to apologize. Boy, right in front of the goal, almost missed him, but somehow finds Benjamin Dunleavy the second time. Zach Hopps saw him. He was open, looked away, and then came back to Dunleavy. And Dunleavy gets his first goal of the day from right on the doorstep. And with 5:35 to play, as we said, all it takes sometimes is just one play going the right way. Now the lead is down to 5 at 10-5.
Dunleavy, the senior attacking recipient of some great tic-tac-toe. One pass, the fake inside into the top corner. Beautiful play for the Red Dragons, and that was a very timely goal. They needed some momentum.
Lombardo just a bit too late sliding over on Dunleavy. Again, it's a 10-5 game. They go back to the face-off X, where Cortland was very good in half number one and could really use a win here to try to continue their momentum off of that goal. Baldwin trying to hold on to it, and indeed will. And there you go, Cortland with a face-off victory. As we said a couple times today, they need to string some goals together to get into this one. They've got a chance here. Stavrakis. Working with it near side at the edge of the box. He lobs it back to Billy Davis in the middle of the field. Davis is going to come to the left.
You're back to that face-off equation. And the Red Dragons moving into the positive end once again. Had a little bit of struggles to start out this second half, but possession is the name of the game. They've got it right now. Let's see what they can do. Again, they've worked pretty well from behind. Let's see if they can get those dodges from up top and shake up this Hornet defense a bit more.
Again, that last goal was their first goal of the second half. It was an 8-4 game at the half, now a 10-5 lead for Lynchburg. Cortland's got a lot of work to do, but they still have plenty of time. Still 19 minutes and 40 seconds to play in regulation. Can do a lot of work in that amount of time, and we'll see if they can get closer into this one. Stavrakis up to Delira. Delira working one-on-one, going to the left. Not there. Fakes, goes back to the right. Had some space to operate with, but didn't have the motor to close on it. Billy Davis holds up. Swings it back over to Delira. Delira working to the left. Stops twice. Now a third time charges to the left. Nothing there. It's going to come behind the net. Hops. Two fakes. Tries to. That's a wild shot wrapping around. No angle and not a really good look. Backed up by Stavrakis. Stavrakis charges to his right. Now back to the left. Nothing doing. He circles back, being harassed. Two defenders on him, and they're going to get that out. And Halley's going to scoop it up and send it the other way. In transition are the Hornets. Did not see the man behind him whatsoever. And that's a turnover once again.
Delira there to knock it away.
Good job by Delira on a completely unsuspecting.
Tough from all the way up
midfielder.
Here. You can't tell if somebody was yelling at him, but got to tell him the guy's chasing him down.
It was Burke Ellis who had no knowledge of the fact that there was somebody on him. That shot low, not really threatening.
Still, I think it would have been a good foot race, though. Delira has some wheels.
He certainly does. Benjamin Dunleavy took that shot, could not get it through. It was backed up and held onto by Cortland. 10-5, the lead for Lynchburg. 3:15 to play in quarter number three. Third spin move from Hops. Oh, that's so pretty. Wow. Zach Hops on the third spin move finally goes in, never gets a second hand on the stick, just lobs it towards the top of the net, beats Howley for his third goal today. He's got the hat trick. He's got 13 on the season, and it's a 10-6 game.
Hops finds a recognition, little finalizer move, keeps it in the right hand, two hands, and just fires it in the top of the goal. Once again, in this game, we see a little bit more Richie Ford-esque play. It's Stevenson. You know it can happen here at Mustang Stadium, and it just happened for Zach Hops and Cortland.
You know what he did? He did actually have the second hand on the stick, but it was at the very bottom of the stick to get the space to get that shot off. Back at the X, big face-off win this time for the Hornets. As the momentum has swung to the side of the Red Dragons, would have been a six-goal lead.
Big-time play right there.
They needed to come away with that face-off win, but they definitely have to clear it. They have to hold on and get a possession out of this. And that's exactly what they're able to do. Colin McGuire working with it, goal line extended for Lynchburg. Christian, you brought up our first game and what happened in the third quarter. We saw a six-goal lead trimmed down to three in that first game. So far today, we've seen a six-goal lead trimmed down to four with 2.5 minutes to play here in the third. if Cortland can come up with another defensive stop, they could make this one really interesting going to quarter number four. Aaron Murphy wants to do something about that. He's on the run. He's going to go all the way and now spin back to the middle of the field. He goes with a flip and another save there from Scalise. He's been very good this time, saving a shot from Chris Cornelius. Scalise, inserted into the game, has not played a ton this season, but he has come up big a few times now for the Red Dragons.
Huge stop by Scalise, but Lynchburg missed an opportunity right there. That one more pass, Andrew Stewart was wide open on the doorstep, just needed that one more pass inside.
Austin Stewart, by the way, hasn't scored since halftime after scoring those four goals in the first half. Lots of spins from Luke McNaney to hold on to possession here for the Red Dragons, and they'll go to work now. 1:40 to play in quarter number three, an opportunity to make this a three-goal game going to the final quarter. Boy, that was a great look on the doorstep for Hops. I believe just got a little bit of stick on it, did Halley, and that ball's going to go the other way as I guess Hops was in the crease.
Super unlucky for Zach. You got to applaud play like that. Senior going at it, trying to get his team back in the mix, scored that last goal. Definite confidence boost on a play like that. But, you know, just moving into these possessions, they've got to manage the clock well. Again, last part here, the third quarter. Momentum's on their side. They just don't want to give up any runs.
And good clear here for Lynchburg. All the way on the run, Cullen Ganley decided to pull the trigger on that one. Nowhere close and backed up by the Hornets. They maintain possession. 1:19 to play in quarter number three. Lead 10-6. They still very much have control of the game. The momentum, the pendulum has swung ever so slightly back towards the side of the Red Dragons. They've got to stop that. Lynchburg does before this becomes a game once again. Cornelius will send it back the middle of the field. And now it comes over to the far side where Austin Stewart goes to work. Seen a lot of Daniel Owens today. Austin Stewart, a couple of fakes before he gives it back to Owens, and Owens will bury that one from the middle of the field. He had a good look, goes low to Scalise's right, and he gets that home for Daniel Owens, his first goal of his sophomore season. And it is now an 11-6 lead for the Hornets.
And Stewart is going to draw that attention. He has four goals, so the slide's going to come quick on him. He gets to the double team, a quick dump off, and then firing overhand shot. That is textbook. Young players out there, watch that by Owens, because that's exactly the type of shot that D3 coaches are looking for when they're recruiting you.
Actually had to thread the needle a little bit in front of the goal. There was some traffic, but he found a perfect spot to put that one home. Austin Stewart gets credited with his second assist of the day. He now has three assists on the season. He's got a 6-point day working, 28 on the year. Face-off win for the Red Dragons, and trailing by five, it would be big if they could try to just trim into this one a little bit here before the end of the third quarter. About 30 seconds to work with for the Cortland attack. Comes back out to the middle of the field, and that's where TJ DeLyra has it. DeLyra going to the left. Sends it back to the near side, sort of middle edge of the box. Stavrakis will give it back to DeLyra. DeLyra back to Billy Davis. Billy Davis swings it across the field, trying to get an oncoming charge there. Stavrakis picks that one up off the bounce. Another save by Halley, and that's how the third quarter is going to come to a close. And Halley, just for the hell of it, lobs it down the field. Nothing doing there. But he has been spectacular today, has Chris Halley, and because of his efforts, Lynchburg with an 11-6 lead. We are through three quarters. We'll see if Cortland has something under the hood in quarter number four to make it a game once again. This is the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net.
Follow us on Twitter
at Go Mustang Sports.
It's so good to see you. Got my jams right out of my shoes. Don't need a reason. All I really need is you. Just for the fun of it. Delicious, crisp taste of it. Just for the love of it. Just for the feel of it. Just for the taste of it. Diet Coke. Just wanna catch ya. It's electric when you hit my lips. Feels so good to hold ya. It's the no calories that makes me feel like this. Just for the fun of it. Just for the thrill of it.
want a taste of it.
Diet Coke.
This is the Green Turtle Classic, powered by SFMSports.net.
Back out here at Mustang Stadium, headed to quarter number four, the number 11-ranked Lynchburg Hornets lead the number 7-ranked Cortland Red Dragons 11-6. Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you at the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net. Be sure to visit the Owings Mills Green Turtle, located just 10 minutes from Mustang Stadium, during this weekend's Classic. Show your ticket to your server and get $5 off your purchase of $25 or more. Located at 2 Restaurant Drive South in Owings Mills, the Green Turtle combines comfort food, a casual atmosphere, and a sports bar theme where families, friends, and fans of all ages feel at home. I don't even think it's 10 minutes, really. I think it's more like 5 minutes to get to the Green Turtle here in Owings Mills. Also, when you go, may I recommend the raspberry turkey flatbread sandwich. Mm-hmm. That is a winner when you go to the Green Turtle.
Great recent addition to that menu. Always love it, especially down in Ocean City at the original on 117th Street. So no matter where you are in the state of Maryland, you can go to Green Turtle and have a great experience.
All right, back underway here in quarter number four. Lynchburg with possession off the faceoff, leading 11-6. It has been all Hornets in this one. An opportunity to expand to that lead, and Chris Cornelius lets that shot fly, going to his left, try to come back across his body to go to the right, not able to get it on goal, backed up and held onto by Lynchburg. And you'd assume, as long as they lead by this much, Lynchburg probably won't be racing to do anything here in quarter number four.
Shot category pretty tight, surprisingly. Lynchburg with a three-shot advantage at 33-30. Heading into the final frame.
By the way, five saves for Joe Scalise there in quarter number three to at least keep this one interesting. Going to quarter number four, good move by Steve Bevel, the head coach at Cortland, to make the change in goal. Nothing he can do about that one as Todd Galvin on the run back to the middle of the field. Goes over Scalise's left shoulder. Galvin on the board for the first time today. For the seventh time this season, and it's now a 12-6 lead as Lynchburg is doubling up Cortland once again.
There's got to be something in Virginia Water, because these guys from the ODAC, they can shoot the lacrosse ball. Here's Galvin, one-on-one, gets that little slip pick just enough, and then just fires it top right corner all the way, torqued around, and just gets another huge statement goal here in the fourth quarter.
Galvin with the unassisted goal. He has 2 points on the day, 11 now on the season. And it's 12-6 indeed. This ball will go the way of Cortland. And boy, they need to get something going here in a hurry if they're going to try to make this a game here in quarter number four. On the run, Zach Hopps. If anybody can get him going quickly, he's the man. 3 goals already today and 2 assists for the junior out of New York. The reigning Sunyak player of the week. In 2 games last week, he had 4 goals and 6 assists, and he's continued that pace so far today. It means in his last 3 games, he now has 7 goals and 8 assists. That's not a bad pace to be on, averaging 5 points a game. Opportunity there for Cantelli. This one's going to go out and be backed up by the Dragons, trailing 12-6, 13:02 to play in quarter number four, needing something to get them going. They cut it down to 4, and there you go. That's a good way to start. Work the ball to the middle of the field and have Benjamin Dunleavy waiting there to bury it. Second goal of the day for the senior.
Dunleavy's second on the crease. And I was just about to say, after they hit that pipe on the initial shot, I was going to say they need any lucky bounce they can get, but there's no luck to that. Check this out. Beautiful ball movement by Cortland. The skip, the little hitch inside on the crease. Money. Gotta love that. Great ball movement.
Ricozzi smart there to pull up and instead send it over to Dunleavy. Ricozzi, his first point of the day, his 4th assist of the season. Lead back down to 5. They were within 4 at one point in the third quarter. It was a 4-goal game at the beginning of the third quarter. Extended out to 6. Now here an opportunity in transition and nearly sneaking that one in. Boy, that was a good look. Low to high from Aaron Murphy. Couldn't quite put it in the back of the net. And Lynchburg will go back to work, having backed that one up.
Nice faceoff win again by Bobby Distler, the junior.
And he's been aggressive off of his faceoff wins. When they've won faceoffs, they've gone right to work to try to get something in transition or at least keep Cortland on their toes.
Second mids once again for Coach Kadelka. Brennan on the far side, look to dodge against the shorty.
And he will instead send it to his right. And that's where Aaron Murphy is. 5 points for him on the day. 2 goals, 3 assists. Comes all the way down near side to the edge of the box before he gives it up. And now Daniel Owens, who has a goal on the day, he goes to his right back in the middle of the field. He didn't like what he saw. And now getting into the middle of the field before he slips it out. I don't know how he got that pass off. Ty Galvin will slide it over to Harrison Brennan. There was a big hit in there. Jacob Fuller took a lot of contact. No call.
Impeccable stick work right there.
Crowd didn't love it. Harrison Brennan now wrapping around. He has the ball poked out, still on the ground, and a good job done by Cortland. However, there was a call waiting there. And it'll put Lynchburg on the man up once again, where they have been outstanding today. 11:40 to play here in quarter number four. It'll be a 60-second man-up opportunity for the Hornets. They've taken 36 shots today to get their 12 goals. The Red Dragons have done a nice job taking 32 shots, but only 7 goals to show for it. Converted their first 3 man-up. Have they converted all 4 opportunities on the man-up today?
I believe so.
Lynchburg, they have been so good in these situations. Probably the biggest difference in the game. That shot rifled in. We've been waiting for Austin Stewart to get back on the board, and he does it just like that. 5 goals now today for Stewart to go along with 2 assists. And it is, once again, a 6-goal lead for Lynchburg at 13-7. Stewart patiently just lining that one up, winging it over the left shoulder of Scalise. 11:23 to play. It's a 13-7 lead for Lynchburg.
Stewart with 5 goals. He's got a full hand and the music to go along with it here at Mustang Stadium. Soldier Boy cranked that with the swag. He well earned that title here with 5 goals to lead all scorers today.
He certainly cranked that shot into the corner, no doubt about it. Maybe he's like a Superman, to continue the Soldier Boy references, as Austin Stewart has been wonderful today for Lynchburg. Cortland trying to hold that one in over on the sideline, won't be able to do it. The ball back to the Hornets. And it just doesn't look like Cortland's going to have that run in them to try to get back in this one. By the way, for Cornelius, that's his 4th assist. He has also been very good today. He's got 5 points. 6 assists on the season. He's doubled his point total as Lynchburg is just putting it to Cortland. Surprising, indeed. We know how good Cortland is. Surprising that it's a 6-goal game here with 10:45 to play. Lynchburg going back to work. Todd Galvin working back towards the middle of the field, trying to connect on that pass. It will instead go out and go the way of the Red Dragons. Austin Stewart couldn't hold that one in. And Cortland takes over, 10:33 to play in the 4th quarter, needing something. That shot blocked before it could get on goal. And the race to the sideline somehow won. I guess it was Cullen Ganley, the trailing man, who won that one to the sideline. And Lynchburg takes back over with 10:20 to play and that 6-goal lead. And these two possessions are too valuable to just be throwing anything at the goal right now if you're Cortland.
Cortland on defense, penalty-wise, no more. You can't afford another penalty, obviously. And then on the other side, the long pole taking the shot. I'm not saying it's ill-advised. You just got to get it somewhere. It was blocked by Thompson on the inside. That definitely did not feel good. But tomorrow, I think he'll have enough energy for game number 2.
Well, I hear that. I guess the other thought being in a 6-goal game is Murphy on the run. That shot, I believe it was a piece of it that Scalise got. Stewart went into the goal, drew a ton of contact. And it's going to be Lynchburg on the man up here unless Murphy puts that one in. It's saved by Scalise. Another flag comes out. And Murphy still has this one for Lynchburg. And he's going to bring it back the middle of the field. And Dane Angel. And now the officials have run out of flags. So they're just tossing anything they can find on the ground. That time he tossed his hat because he didn't have a flag to toss. I believe there are 3 different flags on the ground at the moment. Comes all the way out to Stewart. He will finally rifle the shot. It will be wide left. And let's sort out exactly what happened here.
Well, it's going to be tough to. Flags all over the field.
2 flags. Actually, technically 3 flags, but I believe two of them were thrown at the same time by 2 different officials. So that was just 1 call. A 2nd flag came out, and then a hat came out when there weren't any more flags to be thrown.
So it looks like it's going to be
the cleanup
six
some
on three?
Laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see at least two. Indeed, we see two players go off for Cortland. And as you saw, this was just a great move by Austin Stewart getting in and drew contact to the head, it appeared. And that was at least the first flag there, as it was Patrick Brown who went low and made the contact to the helmet. So let's do the math. Let's count them up. There are currently four defensive players on the field. Add them all up, six, seven. Seven Cortland players currently on the field, whereas there are all 10, indeed, all 10 for Lynchburg. So a three-man advantage. One of those is a major penalty. That was the one on Patrick Brown. 2 minutes. As we try to sort it all out, it was an illegal body check called on Brown.
Second penalty, charge to number 26.
Dylan Georges. He was hit with the minute penalty for the push.
Third penalty, charge to number 26.
And he has actually called for two penalties.
For unsportsmanlike conduct.
And Georges was also called for an unsportsmanlike conduct, and that will be unreleasable for a minute. So I hope we did a decent job of trying to sort all that out. Three flags on one play or one possession. You don't see that a ton. And now this is a strange situation for Lynchburg because they have such an advantage right now, but they also have the clock working to their advantage. So how quickly do you want to go? I guess because the first penalty is unreleasable, you're willing to take a few shots. Good save there by Scalise off the first shot for Cornelius. Cornelius gets it back up top. That shot comes in. Saved again. Two big saves already for Scalise. Austin Stewart still has the ball, and they're going to call timeout. Will Lynchburg here, as the first minute penalty is about to expire. It has been all Hornets in this one. They lead 13-7. We're approaching the midway point of the fourth quarter. This is the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net.
This week on Geico's Stuff Found in Your Car, we look inside your rear door pocket.
Oh, hey. Yeah, me, the almond. Possibly one of the healthiest snacks, just rolling around in the crumbs of inferior foods. You were too busy to save me, but are you too busy to switch your car insurance to Geico where you could save hundreds of dollars in just 15 minutes? Probably not. Saving money with Geico is awesome. Almonds, on the other hand, are just a superfood. No big deal.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
This is the Green Turtle Classic, powered by sfmsports.net.
Glenn Clark, Christian Payne with you for the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net, high atop Mustang Stadium in Owings Mills, where it has been an emphatic performance from Lynchburg today, leading Cortland 13-7 with 8:18 to play in the fourth quarter. Still on the man up coming out of this timeout, and they will be for as much as the next minute and 7 seconds. And Christian Payne, I don't know what else to say about this one. Lynchburg has been spectacular. Any moments where it seems like Cortland has been able to get back into it, even so briefly, they have had the answers to re-extend their lead. And at this point, not in a hurry to do much of anything, just working the clock. You assume a stall warning will come at some point, but it's been really, really good today for the Hornets.
Can't agree more. And then on the other side, just the run killers. We saw some momentum there from Cortland, but no face-off wins and penalties. We'll do you in every single time.
No doubt about that. As Lynchburg just content to stand around right now. Austin Stewart just sort of saying, ah, heck, let the clock run. Cortland, no real option here other than to do the same thing because they're down so many men. If they really went out and got on Aaron Murphy, they would run the risk of allowing someone else to come out of the box. Now, first penalty releases. Still have another penalty, the 2 minute trickling off. And now it looks like finally Lynchburg will go back to work. 15 seconds still on the man up. 7:25 to play in quarter number four. And Stewart, that one, Scalise has been really good in the second half. If there's anything to say for Cortland, it's that they might have found their goalie, as Joe Scalise has been tremendous here in half number two. And an opportunity for Hops now. About 7 minutes to play in quarter number four, trying to get something going. We are even up once again. because that'll be good for the man down statistics for Cortland. That will not be good for trying to get back into the game as they give that one away. But their man-up defense will benefit from the fact that Lynchburg wasn't really trying to score on any of those penalties. And so they'll get credit for that.
Scalise with a big stop on that last sequence.
And that's a bad turnover in the middle of the field, but Cornelius at least swipes it away long enough to settle things back up. We'll see who ends up picking up the ball. Wow, tremendous individual effort there. That's Cullen Ganley, who came away with that ground ball, but a good job done by all parties involved for Lynchburg. When the numbers weren't there for them, they just kept the ball moving forward before Ganley could come away with it, and the Hornets will once again slow things down. 6:15 to play in quarter number four. No rush to do anything.
And wow, this Lynchburg team is so deep. They run 7, 8, even 9 midfielders, guys that are specialty players. Just a great team here in 2015. Destined to do great things if they keep up play just like this.
Now 6 minutes to play in regulation, and Lynchburg just piling on. And again, we got one more game for you tonight. Stevenson will take on Cabrini. That coming up about a half an hour after the end of this one. Is it's sort of the D3 lacrosse version of March Madness here at Stevenson University with the Green Turtle Classic. Aaron Murphy with it for Lynchburg. And then we got 4 games tomorrow, all of which will be right here on SFMSports.net. Todd Galvin gets it in close, and you're not going to miss from that distance. Todd Galvin's second of the day, his 8th of the season. Make it a 14-7 game with 5.5 to play here in quarter number 4.
Galvin gets the Avicii ovation. Great little move initially by Dane Angel. You see here, he's dodging in past the pole, flips up, and top right corner. Thank you very much. Great job by Galvin, really on the catch and shoot there. Not much else to it, but the 14th goal of the afternoon for Lynchburg.
And staying on that Avicii theme, shame that no one really woke up the Red Dragons here in half number 2, as it is once again, and now the largest lead, in fact, of the day for the Hornets at 14-7. Again, 14-7 the score, and it has just been, at this point, all Lynchburg. Another face-off victory for them. And they'll set up the offense once again. Chris Hauer will carry it ahead. And they'll slow it down once more, try to work the clock. As I was saying, a reminder, a big day coming up tomorrow. It starts at 11 a.m. when the Stevenson women take on Union College from New York. And then another triple header here in the Mustang Classic, the Green Turtle Mustang Classic. The same Lynchburg team, so impressive. They'll take on Dickinson, who fell a little bit earlier on today, to Nazareth in game number 1. Then at 3:30, Nazareth, who picked up that win in game number 1 of our event, they'll take on Cabrini. And then this Cortland team, they won't have long to lick their wounds after this one, as they got a big one tomorrow at 5:45 against Stevenson. So that's your triple header following our women's game. Again, all of the games on SFMSports.net.
Had a chance to see half of these teams play now, Glenn, and this Cabrini team as well. Another team that can really get up and get down. Plenty of size. Gabe Dickinson, a very tough game at home in Carlisle, was there for that one. Cavaliers coming out on top over the Red Devils, but a good run as well. Just back and forth. You can't ask for better lacrosse from these 6 programs.
It's funny you bring that up, is that one, I think, got through. It did. Or yeah, it did. I thought it got through off the stick of Benjamin Dunleavy. I was just waiting for the call. It did indeed. His 3rd goal of the day. So Dunleavy and Hops both with hat tricks today for Cortland to make that a 14-8 game with 4:12 to play. Took a second for anyone to realize that was a goal. It's not just that the teams are good in this Green Turtle Mustang Classic, Christian Payne, as we watch this off the replay. Good job done there by Dunleavy to get it off his stick quickly after the feed by Cantelli. Cantelli gets his first assist of the game, his first assist of the season, actually. He now has 9 points on the year. Dunleavy now up to 7 goals on the season. Not just good teams, not just top quality programs, both in stature and in success this season, but entertaining teams. There aren't likely to be any 6-5 games in this event this weekend.
Both these teams will bring it to you. You're going to play hard on defense.
defense, not going to pack in any type of zone. It's going to be tough man-to-man on the gloves, game in, game out. And then there's just the showstoppers on offense on both sides. We've seen them come to play today, most namely Austin Stewart to lead all scorers with 5 goals.
Cortland trying to do what they've only been able to do once so far today, and that's put together back-to-back goals, and they might have had a great look at it there if Austin Hope had been able to catch that pass. Instead, pass goes wide, it goes out, and back to Lynchburg with 3:44 to play. Instead, we're going to have a timeout here on the field, and we will take a timeout with them. We'll come back up and finish this one up. It's been all Lynchburg today. They lead Cortland 14-8. This is the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net.
This season, never miss a single goal with the Mustang Sports Network.
Taylor Morgan, transfer out of Maryland, right down the middle, he shoots and scores!
Watch all men's and women's lacrosse home games live at GoMustangSports.com. If you can't be near a computer, listen on your mobile device. Just visit SFMSports.net and tap on Listen Live. After the game, come back for our post-game chats with the coaches and student athletes.
You got Pat Cannon back with Stephen Bannock. They do a lot of the same things.
Pat's just a goal scorer. You know, he makes plays and stuff, and he's able to finish from tough angles and feed, and he's just such a tough guard.
The Mustang Sports Network, powered by SFMSports.net. This is the Green Turtle Classic, powered by SFMSports.net.
Back in here at Mustang Stadium, 3:44 to play in the fourth quarter, and barring some sort of miraculous turnaround, it's going to be Lynchburg improving to 4-2 on the season while Cortland dropping to 2-3, although still time. You never know in this sport. You see a lot of wacky things. If it happens, I'd be glad that we were here to call it, Christian Payne, as it certainly would be something that we would remember forever if it were to happen, as Lynchburg leads Cortland here in the closing moments of this one, and they'll get the ball back along the far sideline. Just a dominant performance from them, and really, it starts with the two guys they have up top. They're big offensive weapons, and they have lived up to it today. A combined 7 goals and 5 assists between Austin Stewart and Aaron Murphy.
Here's Hauer, the horse in the defensive midfield game. He's going to clear it every time.
He's done a good job on those runs, man. It's turned into a goal already for him today. He has done a tremendous job making those runs on the clears for Lynchburg. Cortland's going to have to be aggressive defensively if they have any interest in trying to accomplish anything more today. We'll see if instead they're willing to content and accept their fate. You see a double team here. Somehow Aaron Murphy holds on to it and draws the flag. No idea how he did that. And especially now, no reason for him to be in a hurry whatsoever.
He just seems to do that a lot. I don't know why.
That ball comes out.
Might be one of the best lacrosse players in D3.
I believe we actually have another goalie change as they have gone back to Scott Toda. Joe Scalise played really well while he was on the field for Cortland, but Toda's back on the field. I assume that means that he's more comfortable in coming out to defend. That would be the reason why Cortland would go back to him.
Stevenson awaits Cabrini in our next matchup. Both teams down on the turf right now in uniforms, able to watch the final 3 minutes here from Mustang Stadium.
David Foster called for the push there. It'll be a 30-second man up for Lynchburg, and wouldn't be surprised at all to see Aaron Murphy just sort of hold on to the ball once again for as much as that 30 seconds as he can. Maybe he got bored, and that's the reason why he decided to lob it over to Dane Angel. They will toss the ball around a little bit, sort of like the way that catcher will toss the ball around the infield after a strikeout in baseball. Just keep everybody crisp at this point. No real intent to do anything with it. Just sort of tossing. And instead, it's Todd Galvin who decides to run out the rest of the 30-second penalty. So once again, a gift for Cortland's statistical department as they get handed a kill there in a man-down situation that's a little bit misleading. Galvin finally goes to work with 2:22 to play. He brings it all the way over to Murphy. A little bit much on that pass, but Murphy keeps it in. He's going to be faced with a double team. Splits that double team beautifully and lobs it in. And Todd Galvin with an easy goal as Toto was well out of the crease. It's now 15-8 with 2:11 to play for Todd Galvin. He now has a hat trick, joining Austin Stewart, who has 5 goals on the day, his 9th goal of the season. 15-8 game with 2:11 to play.
If Lynchburg keeps that up, all they're going to do is win. Unbelievable flip right there. That is not an easy play. It might look like it on the replay in slow-mo, but a one-handed flip and then just an easy shot in the back of the net to give even more cushion to this fantastic lead for Lynchburg.
And I think we'll all put our hands in the air to recognize Aaron Murphy's effort individually there in splitting the double team. That's just a tremendous, tremendous effort, and that's how that whole thing gets started. You decide to bring the double team out because Cortland's got to force the issue right now. Probably over at this point, as it's a 15-8 game with 2:11 to play, but still thinking they might have some sort of chance. They got to force the issue. They got to bring the double team, and when they do, Aaron Murphy makes one move, beats two men. Now they've got a major advantage, slides it to Galvin. Galvin recognizes that Tota's out of the goal and just sort of tosses it in. Tota can't get back in enough time to make the stop, and it's a 7-goal lead for Lynchburg. Surprised as I am by what's happened here today, Christian?
You look at the rankings, it might be a surprise, but I knew Lynchburg was good. I've watched film of them. I've seen them play specifically against a team of similar stature, I would say, the Salisbury Seagulls and Cortland Red Dragons. Rivals in their own right, but I would call them very similar programs this year specifically. I knew that Lynchburg was going to be good. This much of a difference, maybe not so, especially because we saw a little bit of that run in the opening part of the second half for Cortland. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you have a duo of two good guys, and Aaron Murphy and Austin Stewart, they're going to carry you far, and it's going to go even farther if you continue winning faceoffs, and that's what Ditzler's done in this second half.
Again, 5 goals for Austin Stewart to go along with 2 assists. Murphy, 2 goals and 3 assists. Ty Galvin, 3 goals and 1 assist. Chris Cornelius, 1 goal, 4 assists. They have certainly stuffed the stat sheet up top, have the Lynchburg Hornets. We'll go back and do it again from the X. 2:11 to play. At this point, you're starting to wish there was more of a running clock here in this game. Cortland's going to get one more possession here, and they're going to give it away just as quickly as they get it. And the Hornets will take the ball over with two minutes left. And at this point, I'd almost be surprised if they don't just run out the final 2 minutes. I don't know what either team has to accomplish by pushing the issue. I guess, let me say this. Mm-hmm. If you are Cortland and your head coach, Steve Bevel, what you have is you have an opportunity to continue coaching. That now you have a group of guys on the field that you don't want to say to them, hey, just give up and just roll over. You want to see them at least show some effort in the final moments and get something to carry into another game tomorrow. But other than that, I don't know what it is that you're trying to accomplish here.
With this March Madness format, you must forget and learn quickly. So out of today, they'll have some obvious lessons against Lynchburg team that's proved to be much better, at least here in the midseason. But with really a great schedule throughout the remainder of March, hard to believe towards the end of it, and then into April and May, a lot can change. So who knows? Maybe these two teams will meet again.
And that ball is going to go out. It's going to be taken back over by Cortland. 1:09 to play. An opportunity to try to get one more on the board. In transition here, a good look, and trying to swing it back across the field, and that's going to stay in. Another bad pass, though, is it's been a sloppy performance here in the fourth quarter, trying to get some other guys' chances on the field. And 49 seconds to play, and Cortland will set up the attack one more time, probably the last time on the day that they will be going towards the goal. Not a lot of positive to say. We'll talk to the coaches after this one, and I don't imagine that Steve Bevel will have a lot of positives to bring up. Maybe the play of Scalise would be the only one that stands out. Another turnover here late. Howard once again on the run. He has been really, really good today. A lot of Hornets have, but that's probably going to do it here as we'll run off the final 13 seconds of this game. For Lynchburg, now 4-2 on the season. They'll improve to dropping to 3-3 on the year. Make it 2-3 on the year for the Cortland Red Dragons. As our final score in this one, Lynchburg 15, Cortland 8. We will grab a break. When we come back in, we will go over highlights from the second half of this one, and we will get you ready for game 3 of our triple header when Stevenson takes on Cabrini. That's all on the way from the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net.
This season, never miss a single goal with the Mustang Sports Network.
Taylor Morgan, transfer out of Maryland, right down the middle, he shoots and scores!
Watch
watch all men's and women's lacrosse home games live at GoMustangSports.com. If you can't be near a computer, listen on your mobile device. Just visit SFMSports.net and tap on Listen Live. After the game, come back for our post-game chats with the coaches and student-athletes.
You got Pat Cannon back with Stephen Bannick. They do a lot of the same things.
Pat's just a goal scorer. You know, he makes plays and stuff, and he's able to finish from tough angles and feed, and he's just such a tough guard.
The Mustang Sports Network, powered by SFMSports.net.
Division III schools offer academic scholarships instead of athletic scholarships. This really puts the focus that the student athlete needs to maintain that GPA.
I did receive a non-athletic scholarship upon entering school.
I got the presidential scholarship, which was huge for me.
I think there's more opportunities for academic scholarships in Division III. A lot of people pick schools just based on the sport and don't get that experience.
Being a Division III athlete and developing my leadership skills has definitely put my name out there and helped me get more recognition on campus, but more recognition nationwide. I did win the Jostens Trophy, which is based on leadership, academics, and then how well you do on the court.
I'm also the Schwartz Scholar of my class. Schwartz Scholarship is basically a scholarship that is given to a student who's identified as a likely leader.
And the other day, it won't matter how they play on the field, it will matter how they do in the classroom.
This is the Green Turtle Classic on the Mustang Sports Network. Now, back to the press box for game highlights and a final breakdown of the stats.
Back at Mustang Stadium, Glenn Clark, Christian Payne wrapping things up for game number two, where we saw an emphatic statement made by the Lynchburg Hornets as they rolled to victory today. 15-8. Sorry, I forgot about how the game ended. 15-8. Over the Cortland Red Dragons, game number two of the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net. Let's take a look at our highlights from the second half. It was an 8-4 game at the break. And early on, it was all Stevenson. I'm thinking about game number three already. It was all Lynchburg in transition. This one's going to end up on the stick of Connor McGuire, and the freshman would put it home from the odd angle to add to the lead. Benjamin Dunleavy had himself a second half, however, for Cortland. Ended up coming away with a hat trick after going scoreless in the first half. That one made it 10-5, and Zach Hopps got his third goal when he gets this one over the shoulder. That's a wild-looking shot that made it 10-6. However, there was more Lynchburg. Chris Cornelius would score here. He finished the day. This was his only goal from up top. Made it 11-6 going to the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, more Lynchburg. Todd Galvin here doing hard work, going to his left and letting loose on that shot, burying it to make it a 12-6 game. More Dunleavy. Here's goal number two for him for Cortland. Just camping out and waiting for the pass. Puts it home from Ricozzi. Made it a 12-7 game. Austin Stewart had four goals in half number one. Here's his only goal of the second half as he finished the day with five. Just rifling that one in after the Chris Cornelius pass to make it 13-7. More from Todd Galvin. He's just waiting for it and going over the left shoulder of Joe Scalise. That made it a 14-7 game. Dunleavy would score the final goal of the game for Cortland. That gave him the hat trick there as he beat Halley on that one. He made it a 14-8 game, but the final goal of the game came from Todd Galvin. It was his third of the day to make it a 15-8 final, as you'll see him put this one here off the feed from Murphy, going in, going low, going behind Scott Toto, who was back in the game for Cortland, to make it a 15-8 final. Let's take a look at your final stats from this one. First, you see, this was game number two of our triple header. Nazareth beat Dickinson 13-11 in our first game. Still to come tonight, number 10 Cabrini against number 3 Stevenson. The Mustangs will be looking to bounce back from a tough loss to Tufts, no pun intended, on Tuesday night. The defending national champions came here to Mustang Stadium and knocked off the Mustangs. Stevenson will look to bounce back from that one when they take on Cabrini. That one coming up in a little bit under 30 minutes. This one was all Lynchburg, 15-8 the final. some final thoughts from you, Christian Payne, as we've been working these last two games together. Final thoughts on what you saw from Lynchburg today against Cortland.
Game one, fantastic. Game two, even better. We saw a little bit of everything from this Lynchburg team. They are so deep across the board. They run 8 to 9 midfielders. Anybody on the defensive end that's looking at that scouting report is just going to take a little bit of a nervous break before you go into the pregame, because these guys can shoot, and they can shoot from anywhere. Austin Stewart, got to look to him as a player of the game. Fantastic 5 goals, and he scored every single way you can put it in the back of the net. Also, Howley, a fantastic day between the pipes. Hot goalie in the first half. Didn't see quite as much in the second, but across the board, the Hornets just flexing those muscles. Hats off to Coach Kadelka. His 19th season, he's seen a lot of good lacrosse, but maybe this year will be one of his best teams ever. On the other side, Lynchburg really just doing a good job keeping away a Cortland team that was actually ranked above them. So rankings will switch a little bit after this weekend. But for Coach Bevel and the Red Dragons, they got to forget quickly and learn even faster moving into tomorrow. They've got another good matchup on Sunday. So across the board, it's been fantastic. Want to say thank you to the Green Turtle, of course, for sponsoring this fantastic event. Thank you to you. Fantastic two games here in the booth. To our producer, Steve Clendenin, and also to host Stevenson. Wonderful event here for Division III lacrosse.
Their crew has done a good job. The SIDs from all of these schools have done a very good job as well. I think we'll try one more time maybe to look at the final stats from this one, see if we can't put a bow on this and then make way for Sid and crew to come in here and call the Stevenson-Cabrini game that's coming up, the final game of our triple header tonight. And instead, we will just wind things down for the afternoon. Again, as Christian said, thanks to everybody working here at Stevenson, everybody with SFMSports.net. Christian Payne, a pleasure to work with you. Look forward to doing it again sometime down the road. I am Glenn Clark. I'll be back with you tomorrow, but I'm signing off right now. This has been the Green Turtle Mustang Classic with SFMSports.net.
This presentation of the Green Turtle Classic has been brought to you by the Mustang Sports Network, the official broadcast network of Stevenson Athletics. Visit SFMSports.net to watch post-game interviews with the coaches and to listen to game archives.